Hi, I'm Josh, and you know, for a movie that is predicated on it being dangerous for you to fall asleep, Invasion sure tries really hard to make you fall the fuck asleep.
That is true.
Yeah. I would say, oh, hi, this is Matt. And, at the risk of, contaminating my opinion, I would say that the thing that was most lacking from that movie was, any kind of terror vision.
Mm-hmm. It was a gigantic booger monster. this is Charlie down. This is Charlie down in Austin. Let's see here. I had a couple of funny things I was going to say, but I think instead of saying funny things, I would say that to acknowledge the fact that, that our old pal Powers Booth passed away, just a good day or so ago. And that was a bummer because, wouldn't it be great to have heard him deliver some of the lines of the sheriff character from Killer Clowns, particularly, you know, something like "screw you and your college flunkies." Like, I would love to have heard Powers Booth say, just like in a table read for Killer Clowns, they did some of those script reading things. I would have loved that. That one, and Whoop de Goddamn Do, I think would be another one that would be really wonderful to hear Powers Booth say. So rest in peace, Powers Booth.
Indeed. And, we are going to do an incredibly hard to say without sounding like racist double feature of Terror Vision and Cold Prey next week on Horror Show Hot Dog. So, we did a whole bunch of alien movies this week, and that includes, actually, by, I think, complete happenstance, right?
Yeah.
Our short, which is Leave Us Alone or Déjanos en Paz.
Which is
a kind of very cinematic looking little story.
It is.
About a farm where an old man made a deal with some aliens, and then the aliens like body snatching some dudes and heads explode and some things happen and it's out of sequence a bit and then it's over.
Yeah.
And their spaceships.
I feel like you cover it pretty succinctly there.
That's the plot, y'all.
Is that you kind of watch and go, oh, this is happening now. Oh, I see now this. And then you're just kind of like, well, Like, I guess, like, 8-year-old me was wrong. Putting aliens and robots and heads exploding or whatever into a thing is not enough. Like, I felt like nothing hung together enough in here for me. I don't know. What do you think, Charlie?
Let me think. This was an interesting deal because, like, it feels like this is gonna sound like kind of a crazy thing to say, but it feels like it was translated from another language, which I don't think it was, but it's like it feels like it's translated. It's just everything.
No, I get what you mean.
You know, like it's there. It's like I know I've mentioned this before, but that movie, The Ninth Gate, that Johnny Depp did 10,000 years ago.
Johnny Depp, yeah.
Yeah. And it's like, and that's another one where I was, that one, and then Ewan McGregor, Ashley Judd movie, Eye of the Beholder, where like, those are two examples of movies that are like, translated from another time, another space, another language, something. Cause like, everything is recognizable, but like, none of it actually is a thing that makes any sense. And not in like a nonsensical art way, but just sort of like, this was translated by aliens. And like, in this one, this one feels that same way, where it's like, it feels translated. Like, it feels representational. And it's sort of like...
Well, we get that vibe sometimes, even just like when you go to like, J-horror, K-horror stuff, where you go, I think maybe there's a cultural thing that I'm just not privy to that would make this all seem... Like, cause like, there's a background weirdness that I don't think is intentional sometimes when we watch movies like that I think is just like, oh, this would all kind of make sense as their language of film.
Right.
Or maybe just their culture, you know, or some combination of the two. And you go, but to me, some part of it just seems like I'm not quite getting it because it's just a little off or a little jarring. And like, you go, okay, but I can attribute that to maybe it is a translation issue. Maybe it's a cultural issue, or maybe it's just that their cinema has developed different tropes than our cinema. And you can kind of process that. But when you watch a thing that appears to have been created in your, you know, Western cinema style in your language, you know, and you still kind of get that same vibe. You're like, well, what happened here?
Right. Yeah. Like, well said.
Did the robots that were closest to humans make this movie? But I think you're right, Charlie. That actually, I think, nails my unease with this.
I think it's just that the robots are one thing too many.
Yeah.
Yeah, I kind of thought that too, was kind of like, what? Well, yeah, that's a good point. Like, that's what I thought, too.
There's a weird Terminator moment, and you're like, what?
Yeah, like, imagine if they didn't feel the need to show off, like, we can make a spaceship land, and we can have
doodah.
We can have little mechs running around, and, like, if you lost that, like, 20, 30 seconds, then you just have this story where Grandpa's like, yeah, I made a deal with them so that if I leave them alone, they leave us alone. But before that happened, they took me away and a duplicate of me came and killed a bunch of people, including your parents. And then they came this time and they took your son. And then they've brought your son back and now everything's a little bit weird because son is still kind of standoffish. And like all of the human drama in this, I think is great. Like the acting and the performances. Yeah.
But as soon as you get like that RoboCop vibe from a mech like ED-209 running around, you're like, oh, but that kind
of... Because the rest of it is so subtle.
I wonder if it would work if it was animated. You know what I mean? Mm. Like, because if this was just like an anime, I might be like, oh, okay. I'm used to like family dramas
animated, combined like, with
whatever.
Style,
yeah, you know what I mean? But like, but just the idea that like you'd accept, or at least I would more readily accept something that is like harsh conversation around a dinner table... followed by mech suit and as being just normal as a bowl of oatmeal in this universe. But when you watch that live action, as good as the effects are, and they're pretty good.
Yeah.
Like it just, you're like, wow.
But now you're making me think of an even better version of the movie, The Invitation.
Or an even bigger version.
Yeah. Like a harsh conversation around a dinner table followed by a giant mech fight.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know. So it's weird.
I ended up really enjoying it, but I think because I have that ability to just discount something and be like, nope, that's not part of it.
Right.
Because the robot thing is like, yeah, no. There's no reason for that. You have this really cool, subtle drama and unease going on with the body snatching stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And like the editing is top notch.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It looks good.
The acting
really
is fantastic.
Yeah, no, Charlie's right. It looks really good.
It's just that one bit that's just like complete dude just got video toaster and is showing off.
Yeah.
Well, and it makes me wonder, too, if you have a situation where you have like really creative and sincere people that shoot real high and just all the parts don't really necessarily come together versus people that are like definitely, have some skill, but they think that they're better than they are. And so they kind of come across as being kind of snide and puffy shirted. Whereas, like, I think with this, it's like, I think it's more the former than the latter. I think these guys do seem very sincere in what they're trying to do with this. It just seems like maybe you just get far too many ideas, you know, and that ultimately you have to judge the project as it's done, you know, and it's like, well, maybe this one is not 100% on the marker, but I get more sincerity from this than I get we're better than you are kind of vibe, you know, which is kind of nice. I think it's, especially for something with this much ambition, like I appreciate that they seem more sincere than the opposite.
Yeah. Like I will give overstuffed to a short.
Yeah.
Like excess of story. Great. Cause we've seen so many that just don't have,
that have nothing. No, yeah, they have cat scare at the end and that's it.
So like for this one, I came down on watch it. It's really well crafted and I thought it was fascinating. It was just that little bit of like, did you have to with the one more thing? But, you know, it's really nicely done. It's just not perfect.
What do you say there, Charlie?
Yeah, I'm kind of on the same side as Joshua. I would just say that it feels sincere and I appreciate the effort and appreciate the effort. Thank you for the effort. I think it's super cool. But maybe this is one of those things where you cull down your ideas, you streamline what you're trying to do. And ultimately, that will inform the quality of the next things these guys are going to do because they've learned that lesson this time around. And then they figure out how to hone it down a little bit more. Cause overstuffed, I think Josh, you said that's the right word. It's like, you just get like a couple too many things going on. And it's like, it doesn't mean that they did them bad or that that's lame. It's just sort of like, you just go back a couple exits and that's where you want to have lunch. Like you're good. And it takes a little bit of time to do that, maybe. And maybe that's what it is. So I would still say watch it. Some of those transitions, the edits, especially with the old man and the bed and all that kind of stuff, those transitions and stuff are really cool. So I would say go for it.
I don't know. I think you guys have maybe talked me into saying watch it. Yeah. That was not my instinct because I feel like it doesn't hang together properly for me, as a short, but I don't think there's anything cynical about it. And that's usually what makes me like something. Like, I think they're maybe just biting off more than they can chew. And a lot of what they're doing here seems pretty cool. So I don't know. I guess for the idea that you might go either way on it means you should probably watch it and decide for yourself. So yeah, I'll say watch it.
All right.
I'll take it.
Two semi-enthusiastic and one not very enthusiastic.
Just that side of watch it. Yeah.
All right. Our first movie of the week we're all enthusiastic about, though.
That's true.
Because it is Killer Clowns from Outer Space.
You're damn right
or
it is.
Payosos Asesinos del Espacio Exterior.
Hell yeah.
For God's sake.
This, I believe, is the longest teased movie that we've wanted to watch for the show. I think going back to probably within the first 10 episodes we talked about this movie. So we're talking like 5 years ago.
So you came into this, well, you haven't seen it before.
I've never seen this. No, I rented it back when I worked at a video store in 1997.
Mm.
I took this home and I think I put in the tape and then was like, oh, I couldn't go get late or something and just did not do that. And, then I remember paying like a $20 late fee on this movie, having still never seen it. And that was not too long before I got fired from that video store for, leaving the, like the big, cause it was in a mall and like you have those big, like security gates that roll down.
Right.
And I left one of those half up cause after I'd already closed them, a buddy of mine came over to get some movies that we'd always just loan our friends movies out, checking them out. So I left the gates half up leading into the mall. And then I think I left porn in the VCR that plays on the TVs around the store.
Yeah.
And then, when I left, my friend Lumpy was supposed to hang out and meet me at the place, but he didn't show up by the time I had to leave and I was done counting down the drawer. So I just taped a note that was like, you know, Lumpy, go meet me at whatever place, blah, 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 so that he'd see that. And then whoever opened the morning, just take it down. Except I also forgot to lock the front door. So I left both sides of the store open and like, I think a porno tape in like the playing on the like six TVs mounted on the wall around the thing. And so like, you know, the next day my buddy's like, dude, you are so fired. What? No, like, seriously, dude, like, Suze is pissed. And I'm like, oh, shit. What do I do? He's like, I don't know. And so I just didn't go back. I just stopped. I just didn't go. And then, like, 3 weeks later, he's like, seriously, dude, like, it's at this point, like, it's fine. Like, go pick up your last check. And I went in and I kind of walked in and I was like, hey. And she's like, you dumbass. I'm like, sorry. She's like, whatever. Here's your check. How you doing?
Yeah.
I was like, okay, cool. So, yeah. So it was not too long before that happened.
So please tell me that this was everything you had hoped it would be and more.
This is everything and more. Yes. I fucking, like, I was laughing out loud and like clapping and cheering within minutes of this film beginning. I fucking loved this movie. And that is not to say that if you are going to this expecting, you know, The Thing or Psycho or whatever, you're going to get that. But holy shit, is it fun.
It is the platonic ideal of Killer Clowns from Outer Space.
It really is. This movie gives you exactly, exactly what you could possibly hope for. This gives me the same kind of joy as, like the Blob remake, you know, where it is kind of over the top, silly, and yet doesn't care. And so it doesn't take itself too seriously, but it also doesn't go, too much.
But it also just incredibly well crafted.
Well, yeah. And again, this is the Chiodo brothers.
Yeah.
Who in this particular case, like wrote, directed, produced, probably catered.
Right.
And there's, I didn't realize there were three of them.
Oh.
I thought it was the two. And, the Chiodo brothers did what, the effects for Critters.
They did the Trolls and Ernest Scared Stupid.
Oh yeah. Ernest Scared Stupid, which is why you will find that, like, when you think about it, the Critters and like the Trolls from those two movies and Lips especially is where you can see like the trademark of how they create things. And like, there's just a really good articulation on their creatures. And they did fucking Large Marge.
Yeah.
Which means that forever, these people are responsible for like the most prominent nightmare fuel of my childhood. So I love them and hate them for that, which is fucking amazing. But yeah, so like you have these like amazing like special effects wizards that have a surprisingly short resume. Despite, I think, being really high quality stuff. Like, I don't know if there's like a story. Maybe you know, Charlie, if there's like a story behind that, but I fucking love the look of the creature designs they do, but maybe they just, were they too late on the practical wagon?
Well,
and it became a digital era?
I think a lot of it is like, you know, I don't know this for to be 100% true, but it's like the same, it's like when, Oh, damn it. The artist, I can't think of, oh, shoot. The artist that did, those kind of crazy three-dimensional caricature faces of celebrities in the 80s, Land of Confusion video, the Phil Collins video for Land of Confusion, where they got like Ronald Reagan, they got John Wayne.
Oh yeah, those
like kind of crazy scrunchy faces.
Yeah.
So like, there are these things that happen. I've noticed in the last, and I've spent a lot of time studying this because there's an artist that's done some craft shows around here that's just shown up on a couple of national ads, which I thought was kind of neat. This got me thinking about this not too long ago. So it's funny that this comes up because I was thinking about this pretty recently, where you'll get certain times, where a certain artist or a style of art will pop up, boom, and then it'll be like, you'll see it pop up in a bunch of things. And like, I think, there was a realm of a little stretch of time where I'm guessing they have a bunch of credits that just aren't, I don't know what they are, unless you go back and watch shit tons of commercials and crap from the 80s. Cause like, my guess is they have a bunch of other stuff that showed up. Just like the people that did the stuff in Land of Confusion, just like Bill Plimpton had.
Land of Confusion was based off of puppets from the British television show Spitting Image.
Peter Fluck
and Roger Law.
Oh, God damn it. Spitting Image, that's the one. Jesus.
And yeah, that's, by the way, if you need nightmare fuel.
Oh, those things are, those things scare the shit out of you.
Oh my God, they're scary.
Those guys did at least one episode of an American TV show.
Oh no.
Was aired. And I saw it as a kid and it scarred me for
people think that life. Duracell family was scary. That's nothing compared to this.
Cause in this one it was, they had Sylvester Stallone.
Oh no, running. No. Yeah, that's not okay.
Sylvester Stallone.
Oh, fuck that. No.
Running for office.
Nope. I'm noping my way out of this.
And he was shaking people's hands and ripping them off.
Nope.
And so like,
honey bunches of nope.
After a while, people had caught on the puppet audience and they'd be like, no. And he would grab their hand and rip it off and they would scream and he would throw the bloody hand behind him.
Oh God, no.
And it just like, there's something about the like, we can see that it's about to happen and we're begging you not to do it. And the thing is a like fucked up looking Sylvester Stallone puppet. And like now I can see that that was comedy.
Yep.
But it was just like, he's just tearing people
apart. That's the epitome of terror.
Him not to.
Yeah.
This creepy homunculus fucking Sylvester Stallone guy.
Well, but as a child. Yeah, that's not okay. But
Josh, what you're describing is exactly kind of what I mean. Like, but at the time, there's a bunch of other things you're floating around that you'll find of their stuff that's around. Bill Plimpton was the same way.
Mm-hmm.
This is not an art style necessarily, but the Micro Machines guy. I just saw a thing on him not too long ago where like he did shit tons of stuff. He was in everything for a stretch of time. And so like there's different things that will pop up creatively or whatever. And I think that they were kind of in that group where they just hit that wave for a little bit of time and then off we go. But the guy did, California Raisins as well, their studio.
Yeah.
I can't think of it off the top of my head, but they had a Christmas special. They had the California Raisins. They had all bunch of stuff.
Oh,
same,
yeah.
Same kind of deal.
The California Raisins versus the rock and roll star Lick Broccoli.
Yeah.
Was the special. Cause I watched the shit out of that when I was a kid. Cause my parents loved Motown.
It's a shame because the masks in this, I mean, not masks, but just full on animatronic heads are fucking unbelievable.
They are better than the Ninja Turtles from the first Ninja Turtle movie.
You know what else they are? They're scary, goddammit. They're
creepy as shit.
And they're all different.
Yes. There is no like rubber stamp. Yeah. Clown face that they give you. And that's the thing is that but like you said, Charlie, like the fact that they are like, that is the only real flaw in the narrative of this movie is that anyone takes a split second look at one of these clowns and goes, oh, a clown's here.
Yeah.
As you shit yourself and then the Bugs Bunny hole in the wall behind you as you flee. Like there's I think the actual creature design is unassailable. The only thing that is occasionally flawed is people's reaction to seeing the creature design. Like, it is fucked.
Oh, it's just a guy. Like, no, nobody has a head that big.
No. Like, there's like a point where one of them just like stands in front of a store like he's pretending to be like a little statue or a stuffed thing.
Oh,
like,
I love that bit.
And you're like, not for a hot second would I walk into that store. Cause you remember like being a kid and like there'd be something that you just upset you about a place.
Yeah.
And you wouldn't want to walk by it. could be anything. Could be like a weird, you know, like a lawn sculpture. It could be like a poster in a window. But you'd have things like, I don't want to walk by the house that has whatever. I won't go to the store that got the whatever. That thing standing out front, I'd be like, I guess I will just skip my birth control this month. I'm going to go to the pharmacy over in Nashville. Like, this is not happening.
But then the clown beckoning to the little girl. In like the Chuck E. Cheese.
Jesus.
Because that guy...
That's why you have to get your hand stamped and go in there now.
Some of those things had the most subtle little moves.
Yep.
But there was not one that was just like, okay, he's got two servos or he's got
none of them
two
have, none of them are flappers.
Yeah.
Like, you know, like Kermit the Frog or Fozzie Bear, those are flappers where it's just open mouth, shut mouth. And that's it. None of these are that.
There's one whose smile turns into a smirk.
Oh, yeah. And so much like, additional articulation.
The muscles in the cheeks move and everything moves like it has muscles under the skin. It helps that they don't talk.
It certainly does. Because that would probably blow it.
They have a lot of really subtle facial movements.
I think what's happening now that we're talking about it and, I think what this movie is doing is taking advantage of the uncanny valley before anyone knew what that was.
Mm-hmm.
Because you're like, you are so close to natural looking that it's upsetting. Because I know you cannot possibly be real.
Yeah.
Because it's like, oh, there's just a little too much verisimilitude here, and that makes it only worse. Because it's still artificial, because it's impossible, and yet, like...
Well, and also, too,
the
like...
The glassy little eyes.
Oh.
Well, and also, think about, like, when did this came out in 80... Shit, when was this? 88?
88.
Okay, so, like, this is 88, and you go, like... And so, in parts of this, it's played... Broad as a fucking barn, and I would argue obnoxious. Like the ice cream guys are terrible. I fucking can't stand those guys.
Yeah, they're
a real drag. On the flip side, you have one of the world's greatest curmudgeon carbon sort of cutout characters in the sheriff guy, but he's fantastic. He's wonderful.
He's great.
Oh, yeah. He's just every shitty awful thing, you know.
Dean, yeah.
And it's like
yeah.
So he's great. And like the ice cream guys are annoying, but he's great. But what you have though. Is you have your basic kind of setup. There's nothing super complicated about it, but it's all the little stuff. It's the it's the spaceship part of it. It's the thing with the, cause the nose blows up and then they twist and they turn into the thing. It's that they weaponize everything from a noisemaker to pies to popcorn to like everything.
And the fucking cotton candy chrysalis.
Yeah. And it's like, and everything
then,
is weaponized.
The thing is like, but the cotton candy thing, like that was one that just blew my mind because it is so dopey. Like, of course they're going to be trapped in a cotton candy cocoon. And then when they touch one and they just rip apart someone's face and you're like, oh, there's real gore under that. Like, holy shit, that's supposed to be like the cutesy, like, ha ha ha, you're trapped in here and we crack it open like an egg. Like in like Batman 66, you'd be trapped in cotton candy by the Joker and you would pull it open like you'd crack a plastic eggshell and then the person would be in there like sleeping and they'd sit up. No, in this one, you're already being partially dissolved. You're like, what the fuck?
Yeah.
Like, the movie keeps reminding you that the stakes are very, very high, despite the madness and silliness of it. And like, it's jarring. And I think honestly, it's very effective. And like, it makes you keep watching to keep seeing what will they do next? Because I never felt at ease with what were the consequences of the next little vignette? Like, I felt like the stakes might always go somewhere I didn't expect them to go.
Well, it's so fucking clever. You got the making the balloon dog and then using it as the guard dog, you know?
So fucking good. So good.
And
by the way, Mike Tobacco is one of the best names of a protagonist in any movie ever. I gotta point that out real quick. That's so good.
And then the popcorn turning into the, like, snake clown things.
Yeah.
Oh, yes.
There's so much fucked up shit in this movie. We're not even really running down the plot, but I mean, all you need to know is like aliens land, they're clowns.
It's in the title.
Yeah, exactly. Like it's all there for you.
Well, but then also take that title though. Clowns, right? We go, okay, we have our reference point. We have Bozo the Clown, Buffalo the Clown. You get Pennywise. We have various clown reference points. You know, Bill Murray and Quick Change, of course, you know, it's another one. But we all have our clown reference points, right? But these are goddamn aliens. So like, is their skin, does it look like this stuff? Or like, are they painted themselves up? Are they kind of taking on these personas? Or like, why? And it's like, I don't want to know why. Like, I don't, that's the thing. That's scary in and of itself. Cause clowns are like,
yeah.
A people idea. Christ, you know, and it's like, I just channeled my, like, Megan Matt. It's just like, I don't know what that is. Like, it's just like, I can't, you know, it's just like, that's a scary thought all by itself. But they don't, and Josh said the word clever, and I think that's the exact word to describe it. Like, they balance that knife's edge between being like, they're trying to make them take themselves super seriously, or just being just goofball, silly, you know, kind of silly stuff. And they walk that line, and that's the great part about it. And that's probably why this scared the shit out of me when I was a kid. I mean, it's just like, yeah, this, the tents in the woods, and you walk around, and then the thing like waves at you, and then you're dead. And it's just like, oh, but another thing, like, old guy? Yeah, he's dead too. This other fella? Yeah, he got him. Like, it's just sort of like, it's that line. That's the thing, it's that line. It's like, and also, growing up in a small town, you're like, well, this could happen here. Like, this could happen.
Yeah.
They could live in the forest. Yeah. It could be a thing.
This is a thing where I just kind of go, oh, fuck, like, I could have had 20 years of loving this movie under my belt already. Like, I hope I don't die by 40, which is kind of my plan. So, like, I want to continue loving this movie.
You don't know how old you are, so.
That also helps. But, yeah, but, like, there's so much weird shit. Like, I didn't realize, like, the Dickies wrote the theme song.
Oh, yeah, the
song?
Theme song is great. Mm.
Which, like, what?
Like, pounds. Yeah.
That's amazing. And, like, that's cool. So now I want to go get that album. And then there's a fucking sequel scheduled for next year.
There's been that sequel scheduled for next year for, like, 20
but, like,
years, though.
It's on Wikipedia, so it must be true. And so...
No, they've wanted to do it for years.
No, exactly. And, like, and I feel
there
like
is
I've
no
heard...
fucking justice in this
yeah,
world.
Yeah, I've heard rumblings about that, but I'm like, if there was ever a time that things can get kickstarted or whatever and, like, happen, this is the time for weird things that have enough, like, indie street cred to happen. So, like, I will now keep an eye out for that and whatever I can do to make
yeah,
that happen.
Yeah, they crowdfund that, especially you know? If it's... Because what it needs to be, Chiodo Brothers, is... stowing away aboard the ship and going to their fucking home.
Planet. Oh God, that'd be amazing.
That's what I want to see.
Yeah, I would love to see that. That might be a heavy task for budget. Right. But oh my God, that'd be
but
amazing.
The you're right to talk about Walking the Line because they're not. It's not that super creepy Pennywise thing.
Yeah, that's what I mean. Yeah, that's like what I mean.
That's too real.
It's a little bit lighthearted, but it is like when Dean Wormer or the you know the. Sheriff
and Dean Wormer
gets turned into a ventriloquist dummy. You have the gag,
and it's so funny,
and that's really funny. But then you have the guy just lick his hand out of there and hold it up,
yep,
red and glistening, and just stand there for a long time, just fucking looking,
yep.
And that is hella creepy.
Yep,
like it is legitimately creepy sometimes, even as it's super silly.
Yeah, it's
and then fucking giant clown.
Oh God,
which is the best?
Yeah, this is a rare beast. You know, it's one of those things that just, it comes on with a goofball premise. This is like Slither. Mm-hmm. You know, like, this is a goofball premise, but we are going to have fun with it while never winking at the camera too hard.
Yeah, it's not a trauma.
You know, yeah. And so they're like, no, like, this is absurd, but we'll do this like Fred Willard. We're going to play it straight. You know, we're going to best in show this, like, and you'll
some
get there.
Artsy choices. Like,
yeah.
Those set designs inside the spaceship are
fucking
really
neat.
Cool.
Yeah. And like, okay. So like, we're going to do this absurd thing and let the comedy come from the absurdity, but we're going to make a horror movie that treats this all as legit and insert your laughs where you feel appropriate. And we're okay with that. We're not afraid of you
right.
laughing. We don't have to be extra edgy to counter a potential laugh. They never shy away from anything that could be perceived as absurd, I don't think. And I love it. I fucking love it.
I really like John Alan Nelson too.
Which one's that?
The cop who's the ex-boyfriend.
Yeah.
He is, I don't know, in this and in Deathstalker, he has the weirdest, like, anti-charisma where he's like, he's such a douche, but he's so fucking charming because he's such a douche. I don't know. I love him,
I like
and I realize
that
he's
that is excellent.
He's insufferable, but I love him. The like super straight laced, you know. Well, Jimmy, that's what you get for smoking in the woods. You know.
Yeah, man, that's what you get.
Well, we have a couple little moments to. I mean, we've kind of covered the overall. A couple little moments that are worth pointing out, like I already mentioned, the ice cream guys. They're to me, they're kind of a weak link. I that type of that brand of 80s humor that you see a lot of stuff pop up. And he's like, just we don't need any of that.
Yeah, it's like the Eddie Deason thing.
Yeah, it's just sort of like It's like, yeah, here's the barn. Like, have at it. Like, it's like, yeah. There's little moments, like, there's the casual racism of, you know, Chief running at the mouth. I love that line.
Yeah.
I thought of Matt. I was like, Matt'll appreciate that. the shot of the cotton candy with the glasses, I thought that was goddamn brilliant in the car. Everything the sheriff said, everything comes out of the sheriff's mouth. I love, So I love when our guy, meets up with the ice cream guys and it's like, no time to explain. And he goes, clowns are running around killing people. And then he spends like almost a minute explaining a whole bunch of other stuff. Like, right after he says, we have no time to explain, except for, I thought it was later. And he just, off with that whole bit. The noisemaker hand, the thing where he puts the cuffs on the one clown, because the clown knows he's gonna kill him. He's just kind of playing along. And he puts the cuffs on him, and he's like, and his hands go whoop, and he's just like, new hands. And the cop just sort of looks at him for a minute. He's like, you go in here. And it's just little stuff like that where it's sort of like I said, I mentioned the thing with the pies. That one, that's one of the ones that, the ice cream things or whatever, where like, that one I remember when everybody gets out of the clown car, and there's a security guard guy, and he's like, hey, you weird alien guys, you can't be here at the amusement park.
No, it's, what are you going to do with those pies, boys?
Oh, yeah, there you go. And then it's just like, and then he starts throwing them. And then it's like, you start to see piling up, like, oh, this isn't going to end well with this guy. So by the time our crew gets there, there's a steaming pile of stuff and like bone, like arm bones, like sticking out of the thing. And it's just sort of like,
yeah,
well, that's just not a thing. Two little bits of continuity that I noticed. I don't know how many times I've seen this movie over the years, but, that I wanted to point out. One is, cop figures out you bop him in the nose and they go, blah, 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 boom, they're done. So he doesn't share that data with anybody. Like, it's not a piece of data that ever gets shared with anybody. Which is weird. And then you also have, the ending shot. You get the thing, and they're battling the gigantic clown. My God, that sequence is unreal. They're battling the big old clown this whole bit. And then it's like, boom, and then the ice cream truck lands. Poof, and then everybody's get out. Oh, you guys are safe. Oh, you guys are safe too. Yeah, well, this is great. We just screwed these two lady clowns and got out of there, and it was super great. And then like, the last shot of the movie, you got cop ex-boyfriend guy, like, just like kissing the back of the head and massaging the shoulders of ex-girlfriend. Well, main guy is sort of like standing there. It's kind of like, well, that's sort of how it goes. And he's just sort of like, it's the weirdest thing. Like, it's as if they had forgotten that those characters were different than each other. You know what I mean? Like, they had just forgotten that the cop guy was not the boyfriend anymore. And the Paul Reiser hair guy was the boyfriend. And they'd forgotten that. And so they shot that last sequence, whatever else, and they kind of look at it later, and they're like, I don't see a problem.
I love it's the 80s thing where they have to award the woman to one of them as a prize.
Yeah.
Yes,
and
well, of
so course. They just forgot which one wins the prize.
That's what I mean. Yeah, it's just sort of like there's nothing that addresses it. It just sort of is. It's just like, I never noticed that before, and I watched this, and I was like, wait a minute. Like, hold on, just a fucking...
Also, the hand puppets and the animation where he makes the dinosaur and eats the crowd of people.
Oh, yeah.
Hell yes. And anything the tiny clown does.
Yeah.
Like knocking the head off the biker. Like, what are you going to do? Knock my block off?
Wham.
Yeah.
Like, I will do exactly that now.
It's that lovely, like, cartoon logic in the real world, which was creepy enough in the Twilight Zone movie where they did the kid in the cornfield.
Yeah, but I think this does it better.
Oh, yeah.
This makes you scared of it. That one makes you go, oh, I recall those things. Mm. This one goes, oh, no, that would be the scariest thing in the world if, like, literally anything someone envisioned happening to you could happen to you. That's awful.
All it's missing is one of them painting a realistic tunnel.
Tunnel, yeah.
But instead of the gag is just a horrific car crash with mangled flesh and screaming
exactly.
And burning.
Just like the front
this
half
is where
of the
this
car
movie
just
is
disappears.
At.
Yeah. Yeah. So let's throw ratings on this one.
Yeah, that's true. We do have four movies to get through this
week.
Yeah. I could continue to gush, but.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah. For me, this is an 8 out of 10. It's an amazing bit of, outsider art, I guess, where even the set design and cinematography and shit is amazing. The effect scenes, especially with the giant clown.
Mm-hmm.
I just sat there going like, okay, wait, that's the giant clown. Like, that's the clown with a model bus. And then we quick cut to the big bus and we quick cut to the Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
How many moving parts were in that?
Thing. I can't imagine what a pain in the ass that was.
And it's all seamless. Like there are very few parts of this that look bad, you know? Even the clown on the invisible bike looked amazing.
Yeah. For
sure. And then there was a moment where it's like, oh, well, that's a mat as it like veers off. But when it's right beside the car,
looks really good.
Fucking unbelievable.
Yeah.
So yeah, 8 out of 10, Explodo noses.
I'm right there with you. I'm going to, because, and perhaps because this is new to me, I'm going to say 8.5 out of 10. Mm. And because this is the thing that I cannot tear my eyes away from when I watch any of these clowns on screen, 8.5 out of 10, terrifying clown lips. Mm. 'Cause there's just something about how they just are a little too, not chapped, but like they're just a little too real. And that's like the most creepy part is 'cause they're just like so expressive and like quivery and blech. Like that's just upsetting. This movie's a ton of fun. If you're looking for like those like patient, you know, ghost films and that stuff, like this is not that. But if you can enjoy just like a crazy high body count, silly gore, like tons of fun, just like throw your hands up and have a good time movie, this is up there, man. Like I'm seriously bummed I've not watched this sooner. So don't waste any more time. Watch this now.
It's basically the movie that you always hoped the VHS covers were going to be.
Yeah. This one delivers the promise rare one cover.
It is, yeah. Yeah.
Well, and also the fact that it actually exists is the thing that's amazing. It's really amazing.
That's also baffling.
I dig the shit out of this movie. I also appreciate a movie like this that's super weird and off the wall because then it just sort of goes in that, it also goes in that pile. It goes on that pile of just weird crap that, you know, the dead, you know, Dead Heat and My Boyfriend's Back and The Burbs and just weird crap that just should not exist. And there's plenty more that I'm not remembering, but it's just sort of like, there's a whole cadre of just things that
people
just,
under the stairs and like, yeah,
there's just so much crap that like, there's just like, you find them and you're like, how are you exist? Yep. It's wonderful because it's so creative and sincere and fun and weird and off the wall and like, and this is one of those ones, and I don't want to be too sappy about it, but this is definitely one of those ones that like people in small Midwestern town that go to a movie store in 1989 and weird teenage kid rents this movie and goes, wait a minute, there are people doing really creative things at other places and just being as weird as they want to be and doing all kinds of creative weird stuff. This is one of those things that kid in some small town gets to see and gets to feel like there's more people out there that like to do weird stuff. So I don't want to be too sappy about it, but I feel like this kind of falls in that category. Also, I like movies like this because I look at my notes and I see things like A Sheriff Called Debbie a Tramp. And then I slash and it says, meanwhile, mute mullet turkey-faced man watches a puppet show. I'm like, oh, well, that's an interesting line that I wrote down. I don't know. I don't really remember why. I'm going to say 7.5 out of 10. I'm going to say 7.5 out of 10. Damn it, I had a thing and now I've forgotten what the hell I was going to say. Forgot. Oh well.
As my grandpappy, old reliable, used to say.
I was going to say, well, I had a thing and I just completely forgot. Oh, damnation. Oh, that sucks. Yeah, so I'll say 7.5 out of 10. 7.5 out of 10. 7.5 out of 10. Just insert whatever thing you want from this movie because there's so much great stuff in it.
That works. Charlie, I will say you crystallized what I will now use as my thing for when I like a movie that's like weird and bonkers like this, which is you said the phrase while you were doing your wrap up, how are you exist? And to me, I'm like, yeah, like that honestly just like, yeah, okay. From now on, I'll be like, okay, this is one of those movies you're like, you watch it and you go, how are you exist? But trust me, it will change your life and you will be happy and better for it. Well, so how are you exist is now high praise for me. I love that phrase. I'm writing that down.
I am imagining though that is the Russian knockoff of how did this get made? No, we use time for how are you exist.
Except that all it is then a film explaining how things work. So it's how stuff works as made by how did this get made as made by Russia. I guess North Korea is probably a better one now.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
But that's amazing.
By the way, in my How Are You Exist file, Charlie, are two movies that I watched back to back when I was a kid. And am still amazed that they exist. Stay tuned.
Oh yes, John Ritter.
We've talked about that a lot.
Jeffrey Jones as the devil with the satellite dish.
I can't remember if I watched that or not.
And it has a Chuck Jones animation.
I know.
Yeah, the animation thing. The other Tom and Jerry thing.
No, I can't remember if I watched it or not.
That and Mom and Dad Save the World.
Oh, yes.
Jeffrey Jones and somebody else is Mom and Dad who saved the world from John Lovitz.
As you should.
The Emperor Spango.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Who's trying
to
take over the planet Spango so that he can rename it Spango.
He's very consistent.
Oh, John Lovitz.
Something in the water in the 80s.
Yeah.
All right, let's roll, because we got four movies to get through. Let's roll right into Invasion or Invasion, which is...
game Spanish.
What if Invasion of the Body Snatchers was not Invasion of the Body Snatchers and starred Daniel Craig and Nicole Kidman?
Well, they made a fatal flaw in this movie, which was that they fucked with the formula. Because the formula is, like, you go to sleep, and then they get you while you're sleeping. Because we had this whole conversation talking about the 78 Body Snatchers with Sutherland, where, like, you're talking about, like, you know, go find a coffin to sleep in, or go sleep in a locker or something like that, and they're not going to find you, and you can get some sleep. Like, this idea that the contagion aspect being the primary part of it, not the kind of the hunting weird hive thing. Like, they try to introduce that in this one in a very clunky way, but that mechanic, the mechanics of it, of like when you're sleeping, the little plant goes, I'm going to get you real slow. Like that whole aspect, they got to find you and they're going to set the thing down, poof, and then it's going to go get you. Like, that's critical. And in this one, it's more just sort of like someone just goes, bleh. And it's just sort of like, oh, well, fuck you, Jeff. And it's just sort of like, and then once you fall asleep, bing, bang, boom, you got it. It's like, that just takes that element out of it. It takes that kind of mystery out of it. So that whole middle part
It robs it of the paranoia.
That's what I mean.
I think you nailed it. Cause like we talked about this a little bit before we started recording. And I think you kind of nailed the problem was, and I couldn't quite pin it down. And it's that there is no who is, who isn't. It's real obvious. Well, not only to us, but to the characters.
It's real fast.
Yeah, that's the thing. It's like you get 10 minutes of like some of the most expository dialogue you've seen in ages.
Oh, good gracious.
So that you can get to the good parts, quote unquote. I'm doing heavy air quotes like in person. So Josh is perfectly, roll your eyes all you like.
Benefit, yes.
Yeah, no, but insanely heavy expository dialogue to get to the good parts. We all know like we just want to get to the body snatching. It's like, no, we don't. We want to get to the who is, who isn't. I have to guard my words. I have to try to figure out through careful conversation. Is it safe to talk to this person? And there's hints of that. You know, there's a couple moments where someone's kind of going, are you cool? But you get like two, and one of them is between, what's her name? Oh man, by the way, trying to figure out who was in this movie. Cause I was like, we added a fourth movie. I got to watch that movie. So this last weekend, Megan's like, you have to watch another one. I'm like, yeah, we added a fourth cause it was delayed. She's like, what? I'm like, Invasion, The Invasion, something like that. And I'd forgotten that we'd talked about this ages ago off mic about maybe doing it someday. And so I forgot this was a remake of Invasion of the Body Snatchers. I'm like, some movie called The Invasion, some kind of like alien disease thing. And like someone's kid is the cure. So I turned it on for like 5 minutes before I had to go to an improv rehearsal. And it's got that one woman, you know how like all blonde women in Hollywood look the same? And she's like, oh yeah, for right. And like in like that like late 90s, early 2000s era, she goes, oh God, there's so many. And we listed like 8 actresses.
Yeah.
And then I was like, I swear to God, I should know who this is. And she's like, I mean, is it this person? No. This person? No. I'm like, is it this? No, that doesn't sound right. It might be, no, no. And we just kept going down this list. And finally I was like, nope, we're going to get this. And finally we're both like, fuck it, fine. And she goes to her phone and I go to my computer and I start to go to IMDb and look up The Invasion. I go, oh, it's Nicole Kidman. Yeah. And she goes, oh, Nicole Kidman. I'm like, no, I just want to be very proud and you can look at my screen. Look at my screen right now. I did not look it up yet. I hadn't hit enter. Like I remembered at the last possible second. Like, but to me, it was like the most disposable and interchangeable star you could have put in this who has just zero charisma on screen the entire time.
Oh, I thought she did pretty well as mom.
She could have been a broom.
Naomi Watts would have done a better job.
Sure. But like, no, she could have been a mop handle for all she did in this movie for me. And and that's not all her fault. Cause I think I've seen her do good things. This is not one of those things.
See, they got rid of the
actor goes to a bucket.
Use a broom
the whole time. Frankly, Diane, I'm surprised.
They kind of flipped it around, right? So instead of people slowly turning and you have to figure out who's human. It's almost everyone has turned and you have to pass for alien to survive.
It's a zombie film.
Yeah. So there's like a, there's a kind of a thing there.
Train to, is it Busan?
Busan.
Busan. It's a little bit of like Train to Busan where you're like, you've got to get from A to B to get to safety. Mm-hmm. And then it's a little bit of 28 Days Later. Because basically they just vomit on you and know that you're good. They'll even let you run away once they vomit on you because they know eventually you have to sleep, which takes away your whole tension because it's like, well, you're done now. So I've got 40 more minutes of runtime of knowing you're going to turn into one
of
these.
But then there's the mistake, the crucial vital mistake if you're going to do Invasion of the Body Snatchers of there's a goddamn cure.
Yeah.
There's a cure. Like, I'm okay with them forming their, like, CGI mucus pods.
Yeah, that's fine.
Like, that was pretty okay. Yeah. And the fact that she could fake it by like scraping the mucus out of the
fucking sharps trash bin in the train.
That little bit is great. That little sequence.
It looks cool and I really admire that part. Give him credit for that.
Yeah. But I admire it for being like, as you say, Josh, like because of that conceit of like having a pass for alien kind of deal, like that's cool. Like I think that's actually kind of a neat, a good creative idea.
But I would say other than that moment, she does a wicked bad job of passing for an alien. Like,
I mean, there are times
I've never seen someone more like, watery-eyed and quivery. That's supposed to look
very
stoic.
Good at it. Like Nicole Kidman is just constantly like red-rimmed around the eyes.
Yeah, and I realize like that's very difficult to do. Except that's not what you were supposed to do if you were supposed to live.
Right.
And I get it. That's you're doing your direction in the film, but like we all go, dude, you're boned. you're boned.
Well, here's the other thing. Right from the very beginning, right, we have our shuttle blow up. You know, that's real sad. And they get all the shuttle lands like, oh, somebody sneezed on all the shuttle parts. We got to figure it out. And so then you have like – I can't think of the actor's name. I always think of him as the Weasel from the epic 1995 Sandra Bullock film, The Net.
Pauly Shore. Never mind.
That guy. And he's like science. Got to put on science outfits. Yeah, we put on science outfits. Go on, look at the thing. Oh, this is weird. It's got some weird boogers on there. I don't know what's going on. Comes out. Take off the contamination suits. Okay, we got to talk about this. And then like some, to quote Joshua, moon-eyed hillbilly girl comes walking up with this metal thing. Like, it's fell on our roof. And it's sort of like, it's like this metal sharp thing. And he's just sort of like, his bare hands sort of takes it. Like, oh, like, ow, fuck. And it's just
that
like,
infuriated me. Like, it's in the first 10 minutes of the film.
Yeah, from a mechanic
standpoint.
Like,
you put on the bunny suit to examine things. You're sending out warnings. Do not touch the debris. And when some fucking doe-eyed moppet runs up to you and is like, look at this shit that fell on my cow. It done killed a rooster. Yeah. You're like, why, thank you, kid. And you reach out until it hurts you, i.e. you're cut, and then just drop it on the side of the road and fuck off in a black car.
Like, that's what I mean. Like, that whole, the mechanics of that is very silly. And it bothers me because it feels as though this was a movie that they did put a lot of, I think they did put a lot of, I was going to say effort, but I'm going to say money.
I think they put a lot of money into this.
That sounds snide. And what I mean by that is that like, it doesn't look cheap. It doesn't look lame.
No.
There are some sequences, the car sequence, when everybody's grabbing on her car later on and she does a little slide scale thing and screeches and then they go flying into the department store window.
Awesome. Oh, dude, when everybody goes through those windows, that's really great. Yeah.
Love it. You know, something like there's money here, but it's just like, but little silly things like that. It's like, dude, when you make a cake, you gotta take the little egg goo out of the shell before you mix it up in the mixer. Like, oh, it's an integral part of a cake. It's not to be crunchy. And like in this situation,
using the
like,
cake pan to huck eggs at the wall does not a cake make.
That's what I mean. It's like the mechanics of that little thing. I know it's silly. Maybe it's a little petty, but it's like the mechanics of that bug me because it's like, clearly you had money. Clearly you had ambition to do this thing, but little silly things like that. It's like, dude. And then you have Malin Ackerman in one scene. How dare you, movie, waste Malin Ackerman in one goddamn scene?
The lady with the forehead. The five head. She's the, I know I'm going to do this thing where I name all these movies.
Yeah. No, I know who you're talking about. Yeah. The one, yeah. Okay. Yeah. No, because I remember going, oh shit, her. And I can never remember her name. Yeah. No, she's always great. Yeah. And that's,
she's in one goddamn scene. And then Veronica Cartwright gets to deliver the line. It's my husband. You know, my husband's not my husband thing. But I don't know about y'all.
Delightful
like,
to see her show up, though.
But
I
that
love
whole
her.
Thing, like, I was glad that she was there, but I don't know about you guys, but, like, I just kind of felt like she just kind of, I don't know what Kevin Smith movie it is, but they're, like, shooting at Good Will Hunting 2, and
yeah.
They're like saying that they got the big deal. They kind of the big, because the apples line or whatever, and then Gus Van Zandt's like overcounting the money. So like, oh, how do you like those apples or whatever, you know, and that whole thing. He's overcounting stacks of money. And that sequence, like, I love Veronica Cartwright, of course. I mean, she's a wonderful lady. But like, that whole thing just seemed just like, she's trying her best, but it's like, there was no weight to that whole thing. It's like, I didn't feel scared. I didn't feel anxious. It was a sort of like, I just kind of was like, all right, well, then you've got it in there. You know, it's like.
Yeah.
See, I thought the whole, for me, the, where this started to fall apart was when they were like, oh, so this lady is immune because she, you know, and she fell asleep and she was fine. And it's like, okay, well, that's kind of interesting. Then they go, and your son had the same thing. Like, okay, there's no more tension in the rest of this fucking movie because I know that they don't have the balls to say there is a cure and your son is immune, and then have
the aliens kill your son.
Have like the helicopter crash or the kid's dead or something.
Yeah.
So it's just kind of a countdown to when do they get safe enough. And then as soon as they get on board the helicopter, it's like, and 3 years later, everyone's fine.
Yep.
And it's just jump into this, you know, and then try to kind of like smear on a light coating of, but mankind is still as violent as ever.
And it's like,
thing. It's like, yeah, you did not earn that.
God bless Jeffrey Wright for trying. He tried to deliver that line. I mean, I love that dude. I think he's a great actor.
Well, geez, the heavyweights in this movie, man. You got Nicole Kidman, Daniel Craig.
Daniel Craig, by the way, with hair, looks fucking creepy.
Yeah, my wife does he look like a Eurotrash greaseball?
Oh, and see, I was saying he looks like a shitty, low-rent slash between Dolph Lundgren and Charles Bronson in this. Mm-hmm. And you're like, gross, yeah, gross, like, gross.
Did he get a nose
gross,
job?
Gross, gross.
Like, what is going
no,
on?
No, it's just that he has hair. Yeah. And he has the same lack of haircut I have. His hair just happens to not be curly. Like, that's just
close to the Spangler, actually.
I am very close to Spangler. Yeah, it's not good.
There's some Convergence is coming up.
That's true.
Good cosplay.
There you go.
Jeremy Northam, Jeffrey Wright, Veronica Cartwright, Malin Ackerman. My favorite, who the fuck is that, was Roger Rees.
Oh, yeah.
The Sheriff of Nottingham and Robin Hood Men in Tights.
Yep.
Yes.
Yep. My only point of reference for him.
Yeah, me too. Because I looked him up and was like, why do I know that guy? And I'm like, oh, fuck. Yep. There we go. Brilliant role. This movie, my whole problem the whole time that I kept running into and it kept crystallizing as Megan and I watched it was you forgot to take the time to make me care.
Mm.
You never built tension. You're showing me things and I'm supposed to feel nervous or, you know, peril for our characters, but you forgot to take the time to build that. Also, they do some of the worst goddamn editing in this movie.
It's
where they
real
do things
chunky.
Where there's moments where like a person's doing a thing and they flash forward like the potential consequences of what's about to happen.
Right.
A flash back to them making part of that decision along with the current time. Or there's like a scene where there's like four cuts of her simply just like turning around and taking a sip of something. And you're like, what are you doing? Like, you know, buy a windmill if you want to be that Dutch with your angles, because it's just not working for me. Like, it is just stop. Just tell your fucking story. And I remember bringing this up specifically during this. It's not this movie only, and this is an older movie, but I'm real tired of watching movies where we see a scene that is 20 minutes from the end as our opening scene, and we spend the whole movie catching up to that. Like, can we just tell a story? Like, if you're going to do, like, a full-on, like, Tarantino where you can't even tell what the story is until the last scene or two, that's one thing. But it's another to just go, hey, here's a chick taking pills and chugging Mountain Dew while some people bang on a door. And you're like, is she committing suicide? Is she, you know, staying away from zombies or hiding from infected? Or is she the infected and they're after her? Like, who knows? And, you know, like, and then it's like, oh, fuck me. We're 45 minutes into this movie or an hour and 10 into this movie, probably more likely. And it's like, oh, God, we're back here. Fuck me. We're just back to the same point we started at, meaning, like, all that was pointless. Because we've known she's been safe the whole time. Like, can we just tell the fucking story A to B? It's not clever anymore.
Speaking of Quentin Tarantino, I do love the sequence where she gets the stuff in the little syringe, you know, and she gets it all set up. She goes to the little boy, and she's just sort of like, she's like, okay, we've got the stuff. And, you know, it's sort of like, and so it's very important so that, like, if I fall asleep, You have to do the thing. Like, okay, like, have you seen, you've seen Pulp Fiction, right? Like, okay. Now, this is the way, and it's like, I love that little sequence because, I mean, you guys may disagree, but one of the brightest spots in this movie is that kid. I really like that kid.
No, the kid's good.
He's all right.
I really like him.
But that scene is just completely frittatus.
Because you can't, I mean, you can't, yeah. I mean, that's,
you know. And of course, we're just sitting there going like, I gotta stab her 3 times. No, you ain't gotta fucking stab her 3 times.
Yeah, no, and that's the thing is, it's like, it is, we sat there going, he's gotta stab her in the heart like Pulp Fiction. She's literally explaining Pulp Fiction to him. And Megan looks at me and goes, do you think a kid like that could get a needle? And I go, no, he's gonna glance off a rib and snap that needle. Also, if you go to a pharmacy, guess what kind of needles they have? The needles for diabetics. You know, the ones that are about a quarter inch long and thinner than your hair.
Yeah.
You just inject into fat. Sorry, like, this is dumb. Like, handing your kid, like, an 8-inch syringe to plunge into your heart when he's 9, you're not getting that adrenaline shot.
And he needs to not go through the heart.
You will get no shot to your heart, and you will be to blame.
Yeah.
Another little bit of business that Matt, I thought you would kind of pounce on was when they, and I don't mean it in a negative way, but like he says, I think is it Daniel Craig that says, something like, you know, he's like, oh, you gotta stay awake or whatever else. And he says, oh yeah, you can stay awake for a week easily. And I was like, yeah,
easily.
He says that in such a way that it's sort of like, well, I'm a Newton bitter. Like, wait a minute.
Yes.
I don't.
Says
I don't
guy
think...
who's never clearly done it.
And it's just like, I don't know if easily is the right word for it.
Not with that hair.
Yeah, no, I think with the proper motivation and
stimulants.
And some stimulants, you can stay awake. But like, I don't know, for me, I'm not saying I'm, you know, captain, no one can stay awake longer than me. I think I've maxed out at about 3 days.
Yeah.
And despite your best, and that was one of the problems.
And you were a shambling wreck of a man.
Yeah, but like, it's, you eventually, your brain goes, I don't care if you want to be awake, you're going to micro nap while walking.
Mm-hmm.
And you just go, and he does little nod offs. And like, and the thing is if you're that tired, that little nod off turns into full on thud, fall to the ground, and even that doesn't wake you up.
Well, especially because she's like, okay, well, for one thing, if you go into the pharmacy, they're going to have fucking Adderall or Ritalin,
mm-hmm,
or, you know, fucking pseudoephedrine, just something besides the shot of adrenaline to the fucking heart.
Yeah. Although she does take a handful of pills. Yeah.
Even the awful Nightmare on Elm Street remake had the pills they had an injectable, but it was like inject into the thigh.
Yeah. Yeah, as like, you would have like that. Yeah.
But you don't sit the fuck down and have your kid on your lap and like be petting his hair.
Yeah. Like the most probable way to nod off.
It's like, you play pharmacy hockey. That's what you do.
Yeah, right. It's just like, yeah, you start turkey bowling in the aisle. Like,
do something like get up and dance. But
what you do is you go, all right, kid, you take a nap. Mommy's going to go over here and tie off just in case.
You play some pharmacy hockey and then some aisle turkey or frozen. What did you say? Turkey bowl? What
are they? Turkey bowling. Yeah. Did you never work in a grocery store?
No.
No, frozen turkeys skid really easily across linoleum or tile. So yeah, you can set up whatever you want, like milk jugs, and then you can slide a frozen turkey a good 30 yards.
How many jobs have you been fired from?
I mean, less than you'd think. Not that one.
The
I got mono and had to quit.
That just killed me though, because throughout she's supposed to have these really strong motherly instincts, but just like, just in case I fall asleep and turn into a pod person whose only motivation is going to be to kill you because we know you're immune, I'm going to have you on my lap.
Yep.
And I'm going to be unrestrained.
Oh, yep. That's another thing. Yeah. That's another aspect of this one where they missed the mark and they just must not have been paying attention. Because you just said that, like, you know, if she turned into a pod person, my motivation is going to kill you because we know that you're immune. It's like, yeah, but like, none of that's consistent. Because like, how in the hell can that, you know, that willowy Aussie lady go shuffling around the streets and people just walk by her, no problem? Like, that makes no goddamn sense whatsoever if it's supposed to be a groupthink type situation.
Yeah.
It's like, well, that's just silly. Like, you can't just sort of brush off your brow. However, I did really like that sequence in the subway where she sits down. It reminded me of the thing from the second Finding Nemo movie where they're like near the squid's lair and the little, like, the little crabs underneath the can stick their heads up like, hey, shut the fuck up. Like, boom. And I was like, that reminded me of that.
Yeah, I remember in Finding Dory when the crab said, shut the fuck up.
It was great. Samuel L. Jackson was great in that movie.
But you know, know what I'm saying. So, all right, look. But you know what I'm talking about? Like, where it's just like the two people sitting on the other chairs are like,
no,
like,
I've seen the movie.
Don't be emotional.
You, yeah.
You know, don't be emotional. Do whatever else. And he's
that scene, that is one of the few times they pulled tension out of this movie.
Yeah, it was like,
because
was
you had that moment of her getting on the train, not trusting anyone, and like, oh, yes, actually, that's what this movie's supposed to be. Everywhere you go, there's a bunch of people that look perfectly placid, and yet they are a threat because, are they placid because they're also hiding? Are they placid because they're part of the groupthink? And she gets on that train and has that moment of like, uh-oh. And that one guy's like, psst, and you're like, oh, shit. Awesome. And I also think they do a smart idea of just like wiping them out real quickly.
Yeah.
I think that's good. And instead of giving her a little like ragtag band of people.
Yeah,
like,
very much so.
Is like that's 10 minutes of like the movie I wanted in this, you know, hour and 40 minute fiasco. So.
All right. So, what do you got for this, folks?
What do you think, Charlie?
Yeah. I mean, I think its greatest crime is that it did not learn. It did not learn from its predecessors. If they're going to try to do a more modern thing, there's some deeply creepy and weird stuff that you can mine out of. Are they or aren't they kind of stuff? Like, I mean, we just rewatched, Fincher's, The Game with Michael Douglas not too long ago.
Oh, that's a fun movie.
God, I love that movie. But like, there's a whole section of that movie where you think that you're ahead of things. And you're mm-hmm. like, and now you're looking for angles, you're looking for stuff, you're looking for things. And then they're like, man, you don't know shit. And it's like, and then you're back into chase mode, and it's like, oh goddamn! And it's like, and that's just ratcheted perfectly. And that's not that it couldn't have been done in this thing. They just didn't pay attention to the parts that make that really wonderful freak out paranoia from the original ones, and how roundly unpleasant that was. And also, like, this is so lame to say, but like, ultimately, if your setup is Lady and the dude. If you know the original source material, you already know that the setup is one of them's going to be turned at the end. Like, and then the other one's not going to know it right out. Like, you just know that's the bit. Like, that's your bit.
Yeah.
So instead of that, like, change it. Make it an aunt and a nephew, or make it, you know, grandpa and granddaughter, or something. Like, change something about the dynamics. Change anything about it. Because you make it a couple in some capacity, and like, nope, we already know. Like, you know, 5 minutes in, the first time they introduce Daniel Craig, you're like, well, it's either going to be her or him. One of those two. And you already know that.
Since you spent the first 30 minutes with her, I bet it's him. Yeah.
Yeah. And it's like, and that's a bummer, because it's like, you got to know that if you've got something as good as the original, I really like the original one too. So you have something that good.
Yeah, the first two movies I think are fantastic.
You gotta take those lessons and employ them and do something different with them. Cause there was money here. There's some talented people in this thing. It's just, I don't know, it's crazy crime is just, as you said, there's not even a manufactured level of caring. And that's a bummer, because it's just sort of like they had a chance to do something a lot cooler and they didn't. So I'm gonna say 4 out of 10. I'm gonna say 4 out of 10. It's like, I got a Reese's peanut butter cup. I got a Snickers. Like, I got some weird alien sashimi. that's awesome. What I thought of when he pulled the thing out. Like, yeah, look at that.
Yeah, it's fucking gross.
Yeah.
This movie, once I realized, because I forgot that this was a remake of Body Snatchers. And so for the first 20, 30 minutes while Megan and I were watching it, as the plot kind of became clear, I was like,
oh, gracious.
This movie is just lifting whole cloth from Body Snatchers. And then you get to one of those lines of like, my husband's not my husband. I went, oh, shit. No, that's right. Like, Charlie said there was a more recent remake. And then it was like, beep, bop, boop, IMDb. Like, and my laptop makes beep, bop, boop noises.
No, I don't know if you heard. It's an extra feature that you can pay for.
It's an app I downloaded to my laptop. Seriously, I have a Windows laptop, so that means my program's now called apps in what is no longer called the start menu, because, ugh. Anyway, that's neither here nor there. It's just infuriating. But, so at first I was like, this is like, okay, this could be interesting. And then once I realized what they were doing, it became immeasurably clear to me that they were doing it poorly. And I was like, okay, if I didn't know where this was going, I could still wonder what was about to happen with what you set me up with. Knowing now that what you're trying to set up is what is inevitably going to happen, You've done a shit job of that. And with the exception of a couple scenes, i.e. the subway scene, and I like her faking being one of them and like ripping the little gunk off her from the garbage can of the train car. That little neighbor kid does a good job of being creepy as shit.
Yeah. Oh man, and yeah, a fucking cast narc, that kid
so he deserves
stuff,
that bonk on the head. Yeah, but like, you know, there's a few things like that, but like, it just, this movie is, it is Invasion of the Body Snatchers by way of 28 Days Later, which is, we're watching the infected or the aliens run around freely just infecting people and just snatching them in the streets with impunity, as opposed to the creeping horror and like, you know, Cold War era dread and all that, that like the, these films and the book were kind of birthed in, although I think the book predates the Cold War, but that same idea of like the outside menace, and it just drops all that. And fine, like that's, you could go, maybe we can make that movie without that and take a different tack. Maybe you can, this movie couldn't. So this was just overall really disappointing me. So I'm gonna give this like a 2.5 out of 10. What's her name again? Nicole something. Nicole.
Kid, man.
Whatever it is. It can't matter. Man. She's interchangeable.
Such a deeply misogynist thing.
Oh, weak. She's dude, a, that's not what I meant.
She's a woman. You know.
She'll always be a woman to me.
They're always the same. She was like an uptown girl.
Oh.
Yeah. So I just read that the studio saw the first edit of this, the first cut of this from the director, and then hired the Wachowskis and to rewrite some scenes, and John McTeague, who's
seriously?
Like, yeah, who's the substitute Wachowski director who did V for Vendetta.
Holy shit.
To shoot some scenes to make a studio cut of it because they didn't like the original. And now that makes a whole lot of sense, because I watched this with Jess, and like, we watched the first half of it one night, and they're like, I don't sleep, we'll go to bed. That was really tense and really exciting and cool, and I wonder what's going to happen with this, with her kid, and
turns out
safe. Yeah. Then the next night, we watched the second half, we're like, oh, well, they fucked that up royal. As soon as they said the kid has a cure, then, and they're trying to layer this thing on about how there's violence in the world because that's part of being human, and if you take away the humanity, you take away the violence. Maybe that's a good trade-off, but you're not digging into that hard enough. It's just yeah. kind of like, it's window dressing.
Yep.
So it's like, philosophical window dressing, you say? Fucking up the ending,
the
you
clarion
say?
Call to the Wachowskis like, rang loud that night.
So, it's I have weird feelings about this because I really dug the first half of it. And then like Eddie Izzard says, slowly deflates like a fan in a cupboard. So, yeah, it's like definitely a 4 out of 10, Daniels Craig.
Mm-hmm.
Craggy Daniels.
Craggy Daniels.
You want a sip of Craggy Daniels, boy?
Bourbon barrel aged.
Hair in your
spleen. Oh, fuck.
Speaking of which, we're going to take a quick break and we'll be back with our other two movies. Maybe we'll salvage some of the random shit that we just said and put it at the end of this thing, if Matt's feeling like a generous god this week.
Yeah, I got all the time in the world.
You do. Let's jump into Terror Vision, why don't we, or Vision del Terror, which is a beast of strange burden, is this film. What can I say? You got a monster that was accidentally beamed to Earth when they were trying to destroy it. And so tentacly thing can come out of satellite dish into weird swinger pad of parents with two kids.
One of whom, the mom in this particular set, is the one who talks about the robot and chopping mall, the second one having the unpleasant ethnic quality.
Yeah.
Yes.
Which is like, couldn't have planned that better, could we?
Yeah. Like, but said house is located on a fucking soundstage.
Oh, yeah, it is.
Which is really confusing and gives the movie this really claustrophobic feel to it.
Yeah.
And everyone is acting to, like, 12 or 13 on the Richter scale.
That's generous.
Yeah, we're real, real broad, like, Disney TV movie broad.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
And fucking Graham Garrett is...
Garrett Graham, yeah.
Ostensibly Garrett Graham, sure. I almost said Graham Greene, which is definitely different. Not him.
Very different.
Graham Cracker. No.
Is ostensibly a normal human being in this, which is the same thing as having, you know, like Michael Moriarty be just a dude. Like, nah. It's like having Danny Trejo, just like, you're in a, like a family comedy and dad's Danny Trejo. Like, no, yep. He fucking isn't.
And as long as you keep waiting for him to like do something insane, he just, nope.
Yeah.
Just delivers the fucking Danny Tanner lesson every episode. And you're like, come on.
Cut it out, DJ, the machete.
I know that you have an eating disorder, but stop it. Machete has no eating disorders.
Yeah.
Yeah, this is weird as fuck.
Oh, yeah.
It's Charles Band, man. It's full moon. It's like, sort of.
But it's not half-assed. It's whole-assed in another fucking dimension.
Yeah.
Because there's a lot of effort on display here, but it's not.
No, I think they.
It's film, Jim, but not as we know it.
Yeah, no, they ran gung-ho towards their goal, but they just neglected to give a shit if anyone else was running with them.
Yeah.
And the thing is, like, that's fine. Like, I'm okay with that. Like, that's why we love, but the thing is, that's why we love Killer Clowns.
Yeah, yeah.
Is that was like, how are this? Like, you know, like,
I mean,
and it is that same thing. Like, what?
Look,
this one just happens to not be good.
I kind of love this.
I had a good time. And yeah. I mean, here's the thing. I want to listen to Charlie talk about it first, because like, when we first did this, as an assignment a couple weeks back, Charlie was like, we may want to call an audible on Terrorvision because, And I was like, yeah, but Megan said she has a soft spot for this. And she was like, don't you dare tell them I think this movie's good because you haven't watched it yet. And that's not what I said. And I was like, okay, because I've gotten in trouble for that before. But she's like, but I'm just saying, like, I enjoyed it. And I was like, well, that makes me curious because, like, Charlie seems to be, like, not into it. Megan, who generally has pretty good taste, was like, no, there's something here. And I was like, well, now I desperately want to watch it. Cause like, to me, that's the most interesting recommendation a film can get is two people whose opinions I trust differ. And I'm like, well, I got to find out. And so I was like, let's do this. And I think we compromised by adding Invasion.
Yeah.
And, I'm fine with that. Cause that was honestly, I'm glad I saw that. But, and you know, like, but now I never have to see it again. Like, that's one of the beauties of this podcast.
Cause then somebody always asks, but the same thing as the thing or other kinds of stuff where people will ask, like, oh, wait, wasn't there that one? Wasn't there one not too long ago? And when that was the Invasion, you can go, yeah, the first two are great. The last one you don't have to bother with. And then you have, like, this is going to sound like dorky, but I like having ownership of that kind of data. Like, not because people just like walk up to like, I've got like a little Lucy Van Pelt little booth, you know, like a horror movie advice, 5 cents. You're like, it's a bad business model, but like, that doesn't happen. But it's just like, I like to have ownership of that kind of stuff. You know, like the, I know what you did last summer movies. We own those. We know them. We know them. We got them. We got it sorted, you know? And there's something kind of nice about that in a weird way.
So tell us about the rabbits here, Charlie.
Yeah. What do you think here?
Yeah, I don't like this though. It's like, I think, okay, so here's the thing. Like, once you get into full on crazy booger monster kind of goes crazy and makes puppets out of people's heads, all that kind of crazy stuff going on, they don't have time to just be terrible. But like, the whole first part of this is like, the broadness just makes my skin crawl and I want to kick a puppy nun. Like, it's just like, it just makes me mad. I don't like that.
I'm sorry,
kind of,
a puppy nun?
Yeah, uh-huh. Yeah, not just a puppy, not just a nun, a puppy nun.
Oh, wow.
That's what I'm saying.
Okay.
It's very upsetting. Because it's
I should have gotten really sorry for a second.
It's that broadness. It's that shit. No, it's that broadness. That's the thing that is it's a big turnoff for me. Like, I don't, like, I've watched 10,000 bad movies of all different stripes. And there's a lot of them that I love dearly, run to with open arms. And this is just this thing that, like, it's the tone of it. I can't stand, like, the husband and wife and just the kind of like, hey, look at our little sex pad. And then the daughter and how fucking awful she is. And like, and Numbnuts, who, by the way, ladies and jelly spoons, if you recognize the guy who plays OD, the boyfriend of the poofy haired daughter, he's like a character actor guy who shows up in Get Shorty. It's one of the guys who tries to collect from Gene Hackman's character in Get Shorty. Randomly.
Holy shit, really?
Yeah, way later in life, amazing. Which is fucking crazy. Everybody's
like 20 years later.
But everybody's so broad. And it's so broad and it's so like unthought out in that respect that when you get into the fun shit of like the 50s B movie kind of turned on its head in kind of this crazy 80s way, like I have no goodwill to give because of the broadness and the shrillness of it. You know, like the next one we're going to talk about, A Minute Contamination, I have a huge soft spot for. It is also not a good movie, but I have a huge soft spot for it. In fact, tomorrow night at Terror Tuesday here in Austin, Texas, they're going to be showing it at the Ritz downtown, and I'm going. Like, cause it's like, I really enjoy that movie. Right. I don't think it's any good either, but it's sort of like, it's the kind of bad good that speaks to me, whereas like, this is the type of one where a lot of trauma stuff is too, and a lot of the Full Moon stuff. It's just, it's the tonality and the shrillness that it really makes me uneasy. And so that's why when I watched the first 15, 20 minutes, I'm like, as I let you guys know, I'm like, I don't know about this. And you're like, well, this. I'm like, Well, I didn't talk about it that way.
I don't know if I think the beginning, the acting styles in this are like incompetent or accidental. I kind of think that it is on this different fucking planet where they wanted it to be artificial and they wanted it to even be a little unsettling and to kind of bring to mind like,
oh, I mean, the fact
cheesy that, old sitcom.
The fact they use a sounds. If this movie had a laugh track, I would not be surprised. That would not be a good move. But if Dad walked in and was like, "Hey," and then there's a laugh track, you know, like the fucking like Archie Bunker scene from Natural Born Killers.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah,
you know, like
with Rodney. Stay tuned.
You know what I mean? Like yeah. But like, you know what I mean? Like if they had that kind of a vibe, it would have been like, no, I can see that. I can see why you made that choice. It's not necessarily a good choice. And again, I don't think this is a good movie, but I enjoyed it. And I totally get every single thing you're saying, Charlie, because I literally think you're right about everything.
Those characters are deeply annoying, but I think they're intended to be.
But that's the thing. Josh said a word there, though, that I think I'm very, this is cool. This is why you guys are right to keep this in here, because now I've learned a thing, and I think Josh nailed it, that the intentional artificiality thing, I had not considered that till just now. And that may be the thing. Maybe that's what was going on here. And maybe that's the sandpaper on the dick aspect of this, where I just kind of go, I'm not one of those people that likes that. You know, some people who do, I'm not one of those people.
Because that is the like,
you know, and that's okay. There's nothing wrong with that, you know, but that may be what it is.
Right. Like you have you start off with, you know, dear old dad trying to fix the satellite machine. He's a goofy guy.
And it's such a weird, like Wonder Years type scene.
But then they go inside and their entire house is decorated in nudes. Yeah. Like the whole thing is a 70s fuck pad, but then it's like father knows best.
But daughter's like
a bunch of people.
80s Madonna striper. Yeah. Like and MTV kid,
grandpa lives in a bunker.
Yeah,
inside the house,
clearly like a fallout shelter built into the house.
Yeah, and he was another like, one. That was like, man, oh boy.
That's the thing, but like it's terrible. But the thing is, like they're so far out as caricatures, like no one, I don't think anyone wrote that intending it to seem logical or realistic.
Yeah.
And again, and here's the thing. I liked it.
Mm-hmm.
But that doesn't mean I wasn't annoyed.
Right.
75% of the time.
It's just the
But then when something really interesting would happen, I'd be like, that's interesting. And again, the reason this movie, I think, to boil it down, because like the nuances of the acting are, it's a little hard to sell the whole movie on that. But the thing that really sells this movie to me is the fucking monster.
Yeah.
The monster is fucking cool. it's this big, dorky, two guys in a Jabba the Hutt style suit going rah, 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 with arms, and it's got like one extra tentacle. And it's just all like, so it's a little bit of like the thing from Weird Science.
Right.
And kind of like a bit of a thing, and it can kind of be whatever it needs to be.
There's like a hot minute where they teach it to talk.
And then it becomes like their pal for a while, and you're like, what the shit? And then it just goes back to eating people. Like, what kind of movie is this? And, you know, it becomes Mac and Me for a minute. And then, like, you have fucking, UHF Elvira on TV, who is like this whole other thing to deal with. And just like her boobs just make you uncomfortable. And
I bet they make her uncomfortable.
Most likely.
Thank you, because that made everybody here uncomfortable as well.
Yeah. Oh, for sure. Yeah. You were just like, no, 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 honey. That's not how you support boobs like that. I work at a Renaissance festival. That is not how those should look in a corset. Like, it's just awful. But then you've got like that weirdness happening. And the fact that like you can pick up the phone and call and it just rings a phone on set.
Yeah.
Is fucking hilarious. And like, maybe that's an oversight in the script, but I choose to believe that that's supposed to be funny.
Well, and it's a movie where you have a kid running around with a machine gun the entire
an active,
movie.
An active machine
and like
gun.
At a point after like the fifth time he shoots it and OD's like, this thing's loaded? Like, what do you think he's been shooting this whole time?
But it is shooting like flashes of light.
Well, sure, so, because you gotta make sure that people at home can tell it's shooting something.
Right. I don't know.
Oh,
man.
It's so bad. But I don't know. I love that monster. It's fucking silly. I love the alien on the other side of the TV that's projecting the repetitive warning of like, do not do this
and
shit.
And the fact that he shows up, has a plan.
Yeah.
Has the lovely idea of like, we can get them back, but they're going to have to live in an aquarium for the rest of their life.
Oh.
Which at that point, I would have been fine with either of those things happening and just failing utterly.
It's just so good.
That was lovely. I just can't tell.
This movie's fucking bonkers.
I mean, it's on that line of smart, stupid, and stupid, stupid.
Yeah. Well, and honestly, and I think, no, but the idea that like the experience that like I had and you had and Charlie had are all probably, I bet we would disagree where it's smart, stupid, and stupid, stupid many times. You and I, Josh, might agree a little more. But I think there's plenty of times I would also just agree with Charlie, like, no, that's just dumb.
Yeah.
And like, but that's the thing is like anyone watching this could hit either side of those toggles, but
it's just if this hits your
wavelength, you might get enough that make you enjoy it. So to me, this is like, this is the trauma movie I'd like to see, but very few trauma movies are as enjoyable to me as this was.
Yeah. That's a kind of should have. A little bit more together than your average trauma. Like,
I think
it seems that I feel like there are fucks given in this, which when you, Charlie, when you said it was like typical Charles Band, I pictured a lot fewer fucks being given.
Charles Band having done,
you know, like a Killer Bong and Ginger Dead Man and, you know, the Puppet Master series back in the day.
Oh, Ghoulies and stuff. Yeah. Okay.
Like, I kind of expected it to be a whole lot more ramshackle and instead it's, well, like I said, like, fucks are given. They're just not given in the way you're normally predisposed to receive them.
Right.
Whatever that means. Yeah. I don't know, man. I had a blast with it.
About Bob.
Yeah. I had a blast with this while not really liking any of the characters. It was just interesting to watch the, you know, like, the whole swinger thing play out and then all of the parents
thing
and
Spiro. That
all
whole deal,
the
like,
couples in
no.
bed.
I do the Greek
covered
thing.
Covered in slime.
Gay thing. Gay Greek. That's what you understand. Greek, gay thing. That'll be great. And meanwhile, his date is just like, I don't know how she factors in, but it's just like, how does that whole thing work?
There were definitely things of like,
But then you have several lead ups where he's like, I love the architecture in here. Is it Greek? Like, it's actually Roman. And then over there, like, oh, that man, a big Greek hero, like, Roman. And I was like, oh, I see where you're going.
Yeah, exactly. And it's like, it's telegraphed with like the biggest, jackest, blackest wink.
Yeah.
And yet you kind of go, but where they're going is kind of funny.
Right.
As much as it's like an awful kind of like out of time joke for this era, it's not, I don't think there's any malice to anyone there.
No.
You know, and so like, I just kind of go, oh, this is just cheesy and cornball as shit.
I just love
and
the,
like, it just, it's,
all but, the parents, the people in the bed.
So
and the kids
dumb.
Put their heads in, and clearly they're used to this.
Yeah, this
like,
is
oh,
not
fuck, mom,
horrifying.
Dad, a couple over, and like, you know how it is, kids. We do our thing, you do yours, and then fucking grandpa's head comes out
so
taking care of business.
Good.
It's it's weird as shit. And on a different day, I might have just said this is too weird and stupid.
Oh, for sure. Yeah,
but
don't watch this while tired. Don't watch this in a bad mood. You know, like you have to. I think kind of go into this like
popcorn and two beers.
And you might have a good time. You may still. I would guess if dear listeners, if you watch this having not seen it before now, I will guess if 10 of you watch this, 7 of you will hate it. That's my guess. I really think this is in general a terrible movie, but I fucking loved it. Like I had a really good time watching it.
I just thought it was fascinating. Those movies like this that are in like a parallel universe to anything that makes sense of how we think a movie should be. I'm trying to think of more examples of this. The only one I can come up with is Shock Treatment. Because it also had the shot on soundstage.
Charlie, what was the?
Would you say, Josh? Would you say Complex World would be in that realm or no?
Close.
What was the? What was that Melt film we watched?
Oh, Street Trash.
Street Trash. I feel like this is kind of like a Street Trash.
Now, what was the good Melt film?
Wasn't that the one?
Body Melt.
Oh, Body Melt. No, okay, yeah. Maybe not. That's what I'm thinking. But like, one of those Melt films was like, just like, it's just bonkers. And like, either you're going to get on board or you're not. And like, the acting is not going to be spectacular. The story's going to be a little bleh, but you'll be like, you know what? I'm enjoying it enough that this will be a thing that I can dig. And like, maybe it was Body Melt was the one. Cause that on the song, it was just like, Body Melt!
Yeah. You know, but at the top of the game, you have Better Off Dead.
Yeah. Sure.
One of the best examples of completely alternate universe. None of this behavior is recognizable, but it's so great and it just keeps throwing weird shit at you.
Yeah.
You know, like the food that she plops on the plate
and it crawls away. Yeah.
Yeah. And at the very bottom, you have something like The Dark Backward, which is just gross and weird and bizarre. So like this is somewhere in the middle. I don't know. It would be irresponsible of me to rate this as highly as I enjoyed watching it. So it's awful, but really fascinating. I don't even know if it's fun as much as it's fascinating to me. So we'll give it a 4.5 out of 10. Put your fucking shirt back on, Graham Garrett, Garrett Graham, and never take it off again.
I had a really good time watching this. But I am tempering the actual rating I'm giving it just out of some sense of responsibility to our viewers. Yeah. Because if someone someday just goes and looks at the ratings and goes, oh man, this got like, whatever, I better watch that. Like, no, I don't be responsible for that. So, I had a blast watching this. I honestly, as a film, I don't think this deserves above, I'm going to say like 3.5. And that sounds counter to what everything I've just said, but it is true. This is a terrible, terrible movie, but it's really fun to watch. And your mileage may vary, but you may really enjoy this. This might be the time you discover that you like, you know, pralines or some shit that like you normally don't eat. So, I would say watch it, but know that it may suck, but like on all the technical aspects and all that stuff, like, nah, it's not good, but I dug the shit out of it. So yeah, 3.5 out of 10. Eyeball appendages.
Yeah, I was just, I mean, I can certainly appreciate that whole part of it, and I you know, that part is fine. It just wasn't, it's just not my flavor of shoe leather, so I just sort of wasn't my deal. So I'll say 3, just to be pleasant enough, I guess. I'll say 3 out of 10, barf me out, and now barf me back in, barf me out again. Whee! It makes no sense.
And to wrap it up, we'll go for another weird ass alien movie, Contamination. Yeah. Contaminación, naturally. It's about a contamination.
I talk about how amazing it is that, like, as Wikipedia points out in the first line, it is a 1980 Italian/West German science fiction horror film
shot in the United States.
Is dubbed into English. Like, it's fucking what?
Right. Like,
this has so many layers of like, how? all right. No, so Charlie, you knew this one. So why don't you take lead on this one?
Yeah. No, this is, this is a bonkers ass thing. So like, everybody knows, well, I shouldn't say that. That sounds snooty. The thing with this movie is that, like, basically, this was one of those things where, these buggers basically saw Ridley Scott's Alien, and they're like, we're gonna do that. And then they're like, okay, how are we gonna do that? Like, well, we don't know exactly. And it kind of germed out of this idea of, like, kind of cribbing off of Alien. And so then they're like, okay, we gotta figure out how to make this work. And so they're gonna, but we're working on 5 other things at the same time. And we have all this overlap with the Germans, and then we have a whole other part of the crew that are Italians. I know what we'll do. We'll shoot in three different goddamn countries and sort of smush it together. This is why you get jungle sequences, you get space station Doctor Who sort of thing, and then you get like kind of all the street sequence. Like, it's just, this is why you get this, is because they're all, you know, it's all these different assemblies and different teams of people.
It's fucking absurd.
It's completely absurd. And this is an eye roll thing, and deservedly so. But this actually has like what I would consider to be three different film languages going on at any given time. Cause like, you have basically three different filmmakers, essentially, making it. You know? Cause you have the Italian crew, you have the Germans, and you have the Americans, like, all working on this bonkers ass thing. That's why you get tonality. The tonality's all over the board. Earlier on, you get at the beginning, when you get the ship shows up, and you get the big MFing avocados, and that whole bit, like, it's like darker and weirder, and like, I don't know what's going on here. And then it kind of turns into the science fiction thing, sort of deal. And then it just sort of goes into this kind of like jungle action espionage, like spy thing. And then wraps itself back up again into Predator 2, sort of. And it's just, the connective tissue is not there. The through lines are not there. The acting's all over the board. You actually get somebody slapping a woman to say, like, now we understand each other. And they're like, yeah, let's be pals. Oh, certainly. Things like that. You get exploding chests. You get, parades in Colombia. You get all kinds of crazy things that none of it fits together, really. Just on the very basis sense. But I embrace the final product that is this thing. And it's not good. It's not consistent. It's not reliable. It's not necessarily fast paced or enjoyable at all parts, but there's something about it that I give a big old warm hug to. So that's what I say.
You might have given the most succinct possible description of the madness that is the plot of this movie, because it's real hard to wrap your brain around. This is one that I watched like Sunday morning, and as I got up and I was like, bleh. Like, I was going to get up and take a shower to wake up, but, like, my roommate was already in the bathroom. I'm like, well, I guess I'll just start this movie. And then once I got into it, I was like, well, I'll just sit and finish watching on my laptop in the kitchen and make some breakfast and some coffee or whatever. And then, you know, a couple hours later, Megan came over to start moving her shit. And she's like, oh, you know, what are you watching? I'm like, I'm just finishing up Contagion or whatever it is. She's like, what's it about? I'm like, I don't fucking know, dude. Like, space eggs and chests explode. And she's like, I mean, is that cool? Cause like, that could be cool. I'm like, nah. Like, the chests exploding parts are amazing. And you know that because every single one is shown in slow motion.
Right.
In a couple cases from more than one angle.
Oh, they just keep exploding.
Which I love. Where it's just like, you have the guy like, and then, and then they like cut 75 degrees to the right. Same dude. And it's like, oh shit, like that's amazing. Like, you were like, guys, we can do this once. I want two cameras set up. Mm-hmm. God damn, they're both beautiful. Which one do you use? Which one? That's why you're the assistant
Are you kidding?
Director. We use both. Like, and he's like, oh, that is why I'm the student and you were the master. But the movie is not great. The plot is kind of half-assed. Like, you know, empty ship is heading towards New York. People go onto it in bunny suits and find out like, oh, it's completely abandoned. And they're like, yep, nothing here. That's weird. There's no one here. How did it get here? Nothing here. Nothing in the world. Should we open that door though?
Right. I don't know how you guys watch this, by the way, but the ship that's completely abandoned has two dudes on the back. I don't know if you noticed that.
Has what?
There's two guys walking around the back of the boat. When they're flying the helicopter over, they're like, oh, look at that boat. Completely abandoned. There's nobody on that boat. There's not a motherfucker on that boat. And then there's two guys in the back like, hi.
Oh, that's amazing. Well, and here's the thing, though. Like, this is something that, this is not the first movie we watched. This was like, the boat's abandoned as they, like, fly over it and something. How many dudes need to be on the deck of a ship to make a ship go?
Four or five.
Do you?
Oh, yeah.
To several. And do a couple.
For what?
Seven. I'm not the one on trial here.
I mean, you became the one on trial. Because nobody, because the system is on trial. Like, I'm going to go ask my friends who were like in the Coast Guard and shit, but like, I think if I look at a big ass oil tanker or whatever the fuck cargo ship like that, I go, I don't think there's a lot for a dude on deck to do until you're in dock, really.
Well, shuffleboard.
Are you just,
I mean, you know,
like maintaining machinery below decks? Right?
I don't know, man. I'm not a boat expert.
Yeah, I know. I'm no boat expert either, but I'm just saying that, like, to me, they're like, there's no one's visible on deck. And it's like, well, what the fuck would they be doing aside from, like, having a smoke break? Because the ship's in the middle of the fucking ocean just driving somewhere. Like, there'd be a dude in, like, the cabin, like, a couple dudes, like, you know, whatever they call the thing where, like, the captain is. There's gonna be, like, you know, working the till, but, like, there ain't gonna a guy, like, swinging a rudder. Like, I feel like it's not weird that there'd be no one standing around it. Like, what's the guy in the bow doing? Nothing.
He's pretending he's king of the world.
That to me just is not a reason to be freaked out. So, like, that was already weird. And it's like, okay, but, like, the fact there might be two dudes visible in the back is fucking hilarious. Then.
Yeah. Well, because I've never seen a version of this movie that you can actually see is the thing. Like, most of the versions I've ever seen of this have always been super shitty. And then this one is great. It's clear, and I can see it. And they're like, oh, there's two dudes on the back of the boat.
Yeah, the version I watched was nice and clear, too. But, like, but, you know, so, like, okay, you spent 8 minutes repeatedly saying how this is the most abandoned boat that's ever been boated. And then you're, you know, below decks for like 8 minutes and you're like, maybe we should open this door. Dead body. And it's like, oh, the one right next to the mess hall where the dead body is. And then you go to the mess hall and like open the next door after that. And there's like 8 more dead bodies. Like, it is the most abandoned boat ever until you go inside it, you dumb piece of shit.
Yeah.
Like, what the fuck? And then, but the thing is as soon as they even just show you the dead bodies, now I'm talking about the already dead ones, pretty cool looking. Like, oh, yes. I dig the weird, like, intestines they got on them. They got some nice cool blood going and all that shit. It's like, all right. I don't know where this is going, but I like the cut of your jib there, movie.
I like the movie where, I mean, cause there are dozens of movies in this.
Yeah.
Yes.
I liked the movie where they're going through the ship and as soon as egg explode, you're fucked. You get hit with like
a
little
great.
Tiny bit of egg juice and it just
explodes. And it's like countdown from 10 person. And you explode too. Yeah, that's really fun.
That was great. The movie that followed it, which was like a half hour of slow talkie scenes.
Yeah.
I did not enjoy. The movie where the lady's in the shower and somebody like sneaks the egg in. That was a fun movie for a bit.
I enjoyed that. But that also seems to have broken the previous rules about said ego.
Well, then the egg just chose not to explode.
Sure, but exploding my ego or.
Well, what's great about that is earlier on, when we first get in there, they open the box and they have the big motherfucking avocados, which is like, in my head, I had this like picture. This guy is just like, it's like, come down. We'll have guacamole for days. But like, the thing is like, oh, big green eggs. And the way that he said big green eggs, I wrote my notes is like, in parentheses, like, and ham? No ham. Stop being a wise guy.
Yes, say it.
but as it goes through, we have a couple of great little things. We have our Freezy outfits when they're going to go freeze the eggs. Those little outfits are fantastical. The big kind of Knights of the Round Table helmets and that whole bit. Those are wonderful. Later on, we have our silly SWAT outfit brigade, which I didn't know like SWAT guys wore khaki. They come running in with the khaki and it's like little welding helmets. It's like, you stop over there, you. And like, oh, we're going to stop because I can't stop laughing at how silly you look. You know, those little things. So there's little stuff like that. There's little dumb shit that just makes zero sense. All the dialogue seems like it's translated from Klingon to English to Latin to Japanese to English.
Oh, God. Yeah.
You know, and it's like, and you can't get around that part, which is delightful. Oh, and then you have like, oh, the whole thing about Hamilton going to Mars. Along with the other fellow, they're going to go to Mars, and they went to Mars.
Oh my god, I forgot about that whole part. Yeah,
and you have the little cave.
Yeah, this movie casually posits but that's an important thing. This movie casually posits a 1980 whatever, where like, oh, I mean, like, cool though. We've already been to Mars and back, totally accepted as normal by culture. In fact, we're pretty bored of that now.
Right,
Mars, and like, okay, well, I think I just talked myself out of my argument. That's really weird. Because as I was saying that, I was like, well, okay. Then again, in like 1969, we went to the moon. And we did it for like 2 or 3 more years, give or take. And then just kind of went,
that's true.
Meh.
Like, it turns out it's just all rocks.
Huh. Okay, point in this movie's favor. I guess that we would be really bored with Mars if we got there and we're like, yeah, it's rocks. Fuck. All right, never mind. Good job, movie. But... Oh, fuck me. That's weird to think that that's okay. Anyway. But you get your, because it's not enough to just have weird eggs that explode. You have to have conspiracy eggs that explode, which leads you to, what is it, Colombia? Is that what we said?
Yeah.
Okay. So you end up in Colombia where you have the aforementioned, like, someone sneaks the egg into the shower to try to explode on Chicky. And then they go, aha, all these things were labeled with coffee company El Colombio with the X on the card. And let's go to coffee company, whatever, and pretend we're going to go buy a lot of coffee. And then you get 10 minutes learning about what coffee is.
Oh, yeah.
Like, I worked at Starbucks. Our training video was not that long. It is the driest, most coffee heavy and oriented. I'm like, dudes, is this a real company and did they pay for this movie?
Like, I do love that tour, though. I do love that tour because right before then, our detective guy, he like casually is just like, yeah, it feels like someone's scratching from inside my head. Like, wait, what? What was the thing you just said? Like, that's not a thing that people say generally. And then they get the coffee plantation. And then they're like, the tour is given by Lou Gossett Jr. as voiced by Slim Pickens. I don't know if you noticed that, but that was kind of fascinating. Yeah. Deal. I was like, well, that's
just, so you get
delightful.
You get to the end of the tour, at which point they're like, haha, we knew it was you the whole time. At which point you go, well, then what? Why? They walked into your base. Why did you give them the 15-minute tour?
Why are they?
You knew, yeah, like,
well,
just,
they came all the way down
okay,
here.
Okay,
they should give them the tour. Yeah.
Yeah, and they're like, okay, well, you know, you, so then
came
they,
all this way.
Yeah, that's
so
what
then,
I'm
you know, the astronaut that has been denying that anything weird happened on Mars this whole time then explains Basil Exposition style to Intrepid Chicky, who's been listening to heretofore known as Crazy Astronaut, until he slapped her, at which point she was like, now he knows what's up, which is troubling in the greatest. That heretofore known as Crazy Astronaut is now here to be known as Regular Astronaut, and I am here to be after known as Crazy Astronaut. The point is, Deuter, who said nothing happened on Mars, is like, no, shit totally went down. Mm. And the guy that's been saying shit went down was trying to protect the world, but I was lying so I could get down with this Cyclops. And she's like, what's Cyclops? He's like, turn around. And there's a fucking, well, like broccoli with an eye?
Yeah.
Not like spelled with one, but it has one in the middle.
Like,
it is.
It's a little Kangen Kodos looking.
Yes, thank you. That is what it is. I was trying to think of what it looked like, but that is pretty good. It looks, well, tell you what, not good is what I'm going to say. That monster
really
from
cool
TerrorVision is much cooler to look at than this one. It's neither one is like super top qualities. None of it's like Chiodo level, but, I enjoyed the monster from TerrorVision. This monster looks pretty weak. And again, has a weird appendage that has like python-y anaconda-y mouth to swallow things whole when it needs to, or just
yes.
like crush people.
And that
yet
is fantastic.
The monster itself appears to have an eye and a mouth and whatever, and it's just like, how many creatures are we going to watch this week that have like more than one mouth because they have one weird mouthy appendage? It's a strange thing.
How's your weird mouthy appendage? Divorced her!
Io.
All right, fine.
So anyway, they have the inevitable final countdown, and Cyclops gets fed, what? It's henchman number something, and then eventually Bad Astronaut, and then formerly Crazy Astronaut and Chicky escape. And all is well, and then we get that inevitable shot in like New York or something like that where there's another glowing avocado, implying could be a sequel. By the way, oh, that is one of the things that completely turned me off of this movie. The sound that those things make while pulsating.
Yes. That reminded me of
especially
death
over
though.
The shower scene. What's that?
That reminded me of Deathbed a little bit. You know how the bed just sort of goes, kind of makes funny little sort of like trumps around the leaves kind of noises? It reminded me of that. Like every time you show one of the eggs, it bolts it, it goes, ay-ya-ya. It's like, what are you doing?
Yeah, there's just,
leave me alone, I'm chanting.
they hit a sweet spot of like, fuck you, that's annoying.
Hmm.
And in that scene where she's in the shower and trapped, and then they're eventually figuring out she's there, it lasts like 15 minutes, and there's so much of it. That was one of those ones where I kept reaching for the thing to like turn this off. You've ruined your movie because you poorly chose a shitty sound effect. And then the only reason I finished this movie was because I knew I had to do it for the show. If it was just a thing I was watching for the hell of it, I would have turned it off. So like, and this is not the first time we've talked about this, where like someone just puts an awful, awful sound effect gets repeated too frequently into their movies. Aspiring filmmakers, existing filmmakers, whoever, don't do that. Just don't.
You're not Stanley Kubrick.
Make the sound unique. Don't That's great. You know, find a thing that is new and suits you, but play it on a loop for 3 minutes for someone that's not watched anything about your movie, does not know anything about your movie. Are they annoyed as shit? Pick a new sound. Just don't do that. Cause that was the fucking worst.
Just use the Wilhelm scream.
Yeah. I kept turning the volume down and turning the volume down.
Yeah.
And then they'd cut to like a whole dialogue thing where that wasn't in the background. I'm like, fuck, I'm gonna have to turn way back up. And then it was starting and I have to turn the volume down and turn the volume down.
There was another, like, all of the dialogue was mixed way down from the score.
It's bad, yeah.
And then things.
The score is amazing because it's one of those things where, like, you have like an Italian movie or a German movie where it's just like this doesn't match what's happening.
It's a score by The Goblin.
The Goblin, yes, Joshua.
Is it?
It's The Goblin.
I'm guessing that's not Goblin.
So is it someone just cashing in, Charlie? Is that what it is?
No, it's Goblin.
Is it really Goblin?
Yeah, it's just the credit.
I know they get billed as The Goblin sometimes.
Yeah, every once in a while you'll see that credit pop up and he's like, what? That looks sounds so silly. Like The Goblin. And this is when I started doing an impersonation of a goblin running around my living room, like, you know, like whatever. Cause this is sort of like, it takes all the coolness out of it when you put the in the front.
Cause none of this music makes a goddamn lick of sense in context.
Oh, in context, the movie makes zero fucking sense.
On screen.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, it's insane.
All right, give me a wrap up on this one, man.
Yeah, we should do that. I will say this is, and I'll see if Charlie and I line up on this one. it's one of those ones, well, cause I think you and I probably like the same kind of things, Charlie, in this regard, which is, there's an era of film wherein you can tell just by the film stock kind of what you're in for. And then what they can do is either blow your mind by giving you a story beyond what you expect, a la Dawn of the Dead, or, you know, blow your mind with some really fun effects despite the problems with story, a la Dawn of the Dead. And this movie kind of goes the latter, where it's like, okay, this is not coherent really as a plot much, but I fucking love watching people explode. It's really fun. It's done pretty goddamn well. And like, I was like, okay, I'll watch the next person explode in this movie. So, it's not great, but it's pretty fun. So I, you know, in fairness, I don't think I can go over like a 5 out of 10. Your abandoned boat is full of people, but, I enjoyed this a fair amount.
Charlie, I'll give you the last word on this one. So I'll just pop in real quick. Like, I didn't have any fun with this. I mean, you know, it is that wavelength thing. And this just was too, like, when people started exploding, like, oh, fuck yes, this is going to be awesome. And then it just wasn't that anymore for a very long time.
There's large gaps of non-explosions.
Yeah, lots of, like, having to turn up the volume to hear dialogue, and then some damn sound cue would kick in, and it's just too dull in the middle, too soft in the middle for me. For me, this is just like a 3 out of 10. Look, the avocado glowing thing is the shower gel, and the bottle over there is actually the shampoo. It's weird in hotels. You get the big glowing egg. You don't know what to do with it.
That's reasonable. Yeah, I mean, I really dig this. This is more my kind of weird. Also, this is part of the Video Nasties group of prosecuted films. I feel if you didn't know that, this is one of those ones. And what's interesting about that is that the quality level is all over the board for those. So if you are interested in those or interested in learning about them, they did a great documentary series a little while ago. I think it was Synapse that put it out. Like this whole big-ass long compendium about them. And very worth watching. Very interesting, very cool, very well put together. Very, very learning about the BBFC and all that kind of stuff. So in context of that, I think it goes a little bit higher than the average because a lot of the ones on the Video Nasty list are just not that enjoyable. They're just kind of boring. But I dig this. I think it's super weird. I would love to see somebody kind of tackle this in a way that like a Splinter, you know, where Splinter is just so good in every possible way. So they take all the base elements of this weird exploding egg in this one and put it in the Splinter verse, you know. Take out a lot of government espionage and spy shit and all the rest of the stuff and get down to the core thing, which is, as Josh pointed out, you have exploding chests and eggs and you go fuck yeah. But rightfully so. As it stands, I would say I do really have a good affection for this one. I quite enjoy it. So I'm gonna say six out of ten, a SWAT team adorned in beige. Or khaki.
I need to point out real fast, just in reading through the Wikipedia article here, under the production tab, after the success of his film Star Crash, director Luigi Cozzi wanted to follow up with another science fiction film. This is the movie the dude that made Star Crash, you know, the movie that's on the new season of MST3K.
Right.
This is the movie made after. That movie apparently was successful enough to make this movie. I cannot wait for the next season of MST3K because this movie, while I did enjoy it, is ripe for that kind of a viewing. So that could be amazing. So,
by the
love
way,
love it.
I did watch Cry Wilderness.
Oh my god!
Holy shit, that was amazing.
It's so good.
God, it's incredible.
I think I've seen it 3 times now. Yeah. It is one of the it's the new modern pinnacle for that. Yeah.
By the way, I'm going to pull a Charlie, Matt, and I'm going to buy tickets for us to go see the live show. MST3K is coming here to do a live riff of a double feature.
Oh yeah, I saw that. Yeah.
You're coming with me.
Is that during Fest? Or no. The Fringe?
No. It won't be.
Let's hope not.
Honey,
sleep.
I can always take Megan.
I don't know why I closed my eyes. No one can see that.
because it's 12:30 at night.
That's true.
All right. So we're going to take a quick break and we'll be back with our films for next week.
That's what we do.
So next week, I have selected films for a Netflix week helped by Zee Charlie, who has seen all of the films and could tell me which of the films were awful and which were great.
And me, who am compliant. Yeah.
And helped by Matt, because he didn't say, no, I'm not watching your bullshit. So we're going to watch The Wraith.
I've learned it doesn't help.
Yeah. We're going to watch The Wraith, a 1986 movie starring Charlie Sheen as a, like, supernatural drag racer.
Dude,
who gets revenge.
Good
in
luck
a car.
To all of us.
Should be lovely. We're going to watch Beyond the Gates. That's the latest featuring Barbara Crampton and Brea Grant from Burning Bright and many other awesome things. And Eyes of My Mother, which Charlie is not sure that we're going to enjoy, but he did, so we'll see what happens.
But not in a smoothie way.
Got, Eyes
not
of
in
my
a smoothie way, ladies and gentlemen.
Beyond the Gates. You what?
I was just saying, not in a snooty way. I just want to make sure that was clear.
Yes,
sure.
Absolutely. You can't do anything.
By the way, we have a short next week.
Yeah, what's that short?
I'm going to say the short next week is Speechless.
Speechless.
Which I will make sure that I send to Josh. Megan and I watched a few shorts before we recorded tonight. So this is one that we've actually pre-screened and I kind of dig. So I'm going to see what people think of it. So Speechless is the short and, I'll make sure that we have that to post on the Facky Books and whatever else.
And if you can hear the sound of my voice and it is not yet June 3rd, it's not yet too late to see me sing, act, and dance in Anxiety the Musical. That's taking place at the Historic Mounds Theater at 7:30 p.m. on Friday the
19th.
Thursday the 18th, Friday the 19th, Saturday the 20th of May, and also the 2nd and 3rd of June. Please come and see it and buy tickets early because our first show almost sold the fuck out, and it's lovely.
Yeah, get your tickets early and often, and yeah, if you are cool enough and go on either Friday or Saturday, because I'm not sure which one, you can probably go with myself and Megan and the boy, because we will be there next weekend to see it, because we did not go see it this last Friday because I did not have the boy, and he likes to go see all of our shows.
Mm-hmm.
And also, I was like, I think that show's basically sold out without my help. Right. So I'm going to pick a different night.
You didn't need to roll with your
party. Yeah, I was like, I don't need to roll in to make people feel good. Like, and the reviews I'm hearing are good. Like, I know we'll have some of those from local media coming up soon, but word of mouth is good on this show. So I cannot wait.
And if you do come catch me in the lobby, I'll be happy to say hi.
Yeah, I'm super, on a personal note, super happy and super proud of our fan and buddy and coworker, Josh Knight, for getting on stage and doing a thing.
After a 21-year hiatus.
Yeah, and goddamn, that's fucking exciting and awesome. Like, you know, you've done some Fearless Lab shows, you've done some Die Laughing and all that. And, you know, all that's great and appreciated, but, like, good for you for fucking getting out there and trying something a little fucking insane, especially with your schedule and children and moving.
Right.
And all of that turned out to be. So, yeah, fucking proud of you and happy you did it. So,
thanks for
go support
much.
That, man.
And look for my next show in 2038. That's awesome. And I've been Josh this entire time, kids. And I'm just going to say goodnight.
That's awesome. Hey, as far as y'all know, I've been Matt. And before I say I'm sorry, I'll say that, yeah, go see Anxiety the Musical because that's one of the things my company is doing. We're doing a couple other things. If you are local, the St. Paul Art of World is coming up. And the McGregor Games booth hosted by the lovely and talented Charles Knutson, who is a longtime fan of both this podcast and Apropos of Nothing, has a booth at that show and is hosting a Fearless Comedy Productions open improv jam type thingy where we will have a bunch of our company members show up and just kind of play some games for the audience. And doesn't cost anything to go attend, but as you're walking around Outer World, if you want to take a break, sit down or stand around, watch them improv for 10 minutes, 20 minutes, whatever. They've got like a chunk of time. They'll be doing that. You can find that on Facebook. You can also check out anything else we might be doing by going to the Fearless Comedy Productions Facebook or fearlesscomedyproductions.com, which is most recently taken over by the lovely and talented Salsa Sterling, who is our new webmaster and is getting some things online, which means ever so soon, because I believe he's moved from Friday to late Saturday at this point in his progress of Die Laughing. For those of you that did not get to watch it live as it was happening, these recordings will be released on YouTube as we kind of complete them and on our website. So you can watch a crap ton of content both on our YouTube and our Facebook and our website for, you know, all the stuff we talk about throughout the year that those of you that aren't local can see. That is actually nearly finished being uploaded and curated for your experience. From talking to Salsa, his biggest issue has been leveling. Because as he sent me a message the other day, like, well, I finally got through the half-hour Squash Banana set, Squash Banana being a local improv group. It took me forever because every time they would talk, it would blow the mics out because of the laughter, so I'd have to go back and draw everything down. Mm. But then you'd lose the next line they said because everything was way down. So he ended up having to like basically level for every line they said on stage versus the audience throughout the set. So there's a ton of great shit coming out. So keep an eye on those things if you like. And by the way, our still work in progress but soon to be completed horror show Hot Dog website will be up soon. Thanks Yay! To the efforts of the lovely and talented Chip Lineburner. And what contributions I'm capable of making. And you'll be able to get us back there. Once we have a new iTunes feed, we'll have that available and we'll pimp the shit out of that. But if you are so inclined, bookmark it now so when we get there, you're ready to go. And keep an eye on those things so that we are, once we get ready to go, we'll be launching that with a bit of gusto, I would say, for like a month to kind of let people know we're back in business. So thanks for your patience, everyone, throughout that boondoggle. And yes, as far as you know, I've been mad. I'm sorry.
It's just when you said pimping that out, all I just kept getting in my head, like, it's like, RSS better have my money. It's like, ah. Anyway, this is Charlie Down in Austin. Thank you very much for listening. There's a lot of things going on, good things up in Minneapolis. So, if you miss any of that kind of stuff, or like it gets a little jumbled mouth, or whatever else, or you fall asleep or whatever happens, we're all reachable and findable and whatever else. There's a whole big crowd of people up there that'll tell you all about some stuff. So certainly I wish I could get up there more, but if you are locally up there, then take the fuck advantage. What's wrong with y'all? So, on that happy note, love you. Bye.